everybody, and welcome to The Void, a show dedicated to filling the void between being an employee and becoming self-employed. Most people refer to starting their own company as taking the leap, as if they're blindly jumping off a cliff and into the unknown. This show is here to help you understand that it doesn't have to be that way. As always, if you like what you're hearing on the show, please do us a favor and help share The Void with somebody who might be wanting to start their own company. We saw an opportunity to help others understand that self-employment is well within your reach. And just as our businesses have grown organically and by word of mouth, we want this show to grow the same way. So if you see somebody asking questions about starting their own service-based business, please do us a favor and send them a link to the show. I'm your host, Mitch Smedley, and with me as always is David Hilton.
Mitchell Allen.
And?
Mitchell Allen Smedley.
Tristan Lands.
Hello, hello.
A.K.A.
T-Rizzle. Yeah.
Yeah.
A.K.A.
I'm proud of that.
T-Rizzle. You should be. Yeah. Everyone knows who Tristan Lance is. I should say everyone.
Where Tristan got the name T-Rizzle, or where we call him T-Rizzle, was Tristan logged into one of our group Zoom calls. Tristan's a Tradewinds member with us. Tristan logs into one of the group Zoom calls, and his screen name for Zoom was T-Rizzle.
Yeah.
And now that's just stuck.
Who? Yeah. I remember that call, and I remember it being on there, and I know he didn't know because he looked embarrassed.
Yeah.
He was like, oh! I didn't know that would show up on my... Who called him out? Was
I don't
it
know.
You?
I think it was Mitch.
Yeah. I think I saw it, and I'm like, what is that?
Who
T-Rizzle?
T-Rizzle. Yeah.
And his camera was off at the time, because you turned your camera on, and you're like, what? Huh?
I had just got a new phone, and I guess that was the name on my phone. One of my buddies used to call me that, and so it was just kind of like an inside joke. And
Well,
now it's a thing.
Now it's public.
Yeah.
Tristan's become quite the...
Celebrity.
Yeah. Oh. He's a Tradewinds celebrity.
Yeah.
He was just on the that. Jared Williams podcast.
Yep.
He's on our podcast.
I hear he's on the Diddy party list, too.
Well, we don't talk about that.
Oh.
We don't talk about that.
You're going to go all Kevin Hart with us?
Yeah. He was snaking the drains.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, yeah, he was.
That's why he was on the list.
That's what's not supposed to go down drains? Fats, greases, and oil. Right?
What the fuck?
It's clogged up.
We're going to get to T-Rizzle here in a minute. I have been meaning to ask you for 3 weeks, and I know you intentionally haven't brought it up, and I keep forgetting. How in the hell have you crashed that boat again?
Oh. So I didn't crash it.
No, you apparently were either...
It was a trailer loading error.
Dude, it looks like you were off the trailer so far that the center was over the bung and cut the bung with the propeller that you've already had rehoned once.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a
is pretty... That, is that what happened?
That's okay. A pretty accurate... So our boat... I know every boat's a little bit different. Every boat-to-trailer combo is a little bit different, too. And our boat really takes two people to load. Because if you back the trailer... all the way into the water to where you can nose up to the front roller. Then the angle is so bad from the trailer to where the boat is.
On that lake,
On that lake with the ramp and everything else, that when you pull out of the water, even though you were winched all the way up to your front roller, when you pull out of the water, your front of your boat will be 2 inches off that roller. And so what we have to do is we have to get the boat at a different angle. So in other words, we don't back in all the way. And then you have to power load the boat and push it up onto the roller.
Yeah.
And that changes the angle of the boat and keeps it tight.
That's what most guys do.
Yeah. Well, I was trying to load the boat by myself. And
I have questions.
Uh-huh.
You were 100% by yourself?
Yes.
No wife, no kids,
no wife, no kids, no nothing. Nobody on the lake either. Like, nobody even asked to help.
You just decided I'm going to go out and drive the boat around for a while?
I went out and took it out solo because I was just... We had like a couple of warm days.
You just wanted to get it out for the season?
And I wanted to get it out and I was... bored and wanted to go. Mason was mowing, and so I took it out and put it in by myself and everything, and then Mason met me on the water and surfed for a while, he and his mowing partner.
And then they just bailed on you?
And then they dipped and went and did their own thing, and about an hour and a half later, I was like, all right, I'm done enjoying the lake, so I'm going to go in. And
were there cervezas involved?
No.
You were dead cold sober?
I mean, I wasn't.
Okay.
Dead cold sober.
There was cervezas.
Yeah.
there were some cervezas, but not an excessive amount. And so
I
loaded it before by myself. And when I load it by myself, I basically short load it and hook it, and then I back the trailer in a little bit farther, and I just crank the fuck out of it. And eventually I'm going to break my winch or my strap doing that. because it's not that strong. And so this time I got the wild idea of like, hey, why don't I power load the boat and get it up on against the roller, and then I'll leave the throttle where it is, and I'll walk away from the helm, and I'll come up over the front of the boat and clip it and winch it. And then I'll go back to the end of the boat and pull the throttle back to neutral and shut the boat
off. That's what I do when I'm on my own. But yeah. I got an outboard. It's different.
Outboard's a little different. So keep in mind, the boat's still a lot of float in the back because it's long. It's a 25-foot boat.
So is it just drifting?
So what happened is I nosed up to the roller and everything came to a stop and it cinched in on the roller and I'm like, cool. And so I pulled the throttle back just enough to where it would stay against the roller. And I leave the helm, and as I'm walking up to the bow of the boat, all of a sudden I see the bow of the boat move. And it went off to the right, and the boat starts going forward more. And I'm like, shit, I'm coming off the roller.
Yeah.
And I'm advancing. And so the boat actually went like a foot and a half past the roller. And so then I'm in front of my guide poles in the back.
Yeah.
That keep it centered.
Yeah. So it just.
And so I got in front of the guide poles and the back of the boat went to the left and the prop ate through. So my trailer's got 2x6 bungs on it.
Yeah.
Bunks or whatever you call them. Yeah, and the brass prop ate halfway through a 2x6 bunk.
Did you?
So, and then it glanced off the trailer a little bit too.
Did you have to replace the prop again?
So what I did was most people with inboards will have a spare prop anyway because yes. It's common. Like, inboards have nothing to protect the prop.
I like the built-in excuse.
No, this isn't an excuse. But, like, they literally sell, like, weekend saver kits, and it's like a prop and all the tools to pull the prop.
Yeah.
So that if you're out for the weekend, you're not fucked if you strike a log or anything.
So like, if you, like, started stocking those, like, 3, 4, 5 at a time, and you just got the one.
So when I damaged the prop last year,
it was fucked.
It was way fucked last year. And when I damaged it last year, I took it off and had it reconditioned and they straightened it back out and everything else. It's brass, it's bronze. You can do that.
Yeah.
When I did it this year, the boat still drives. Like, we were still surfing with it, even bent. No vibrations, no nothing. And so the only time we would ever get a vibration, if we fully ballast down and tried to go full throttle. So like 20 miles an hour with 7,000 pounds of water, you'd get some vibration.
Yeah.
But
you're pushing some torque at that point.
Well, and they have upgraded props available anyway that are bigger and more efficient and give you more top speed and all this kind of stuff. And so I'm like, I'm just going to go ahead and bite the bullet, buy the upgraded prop, get this one off, and then I'll get this one reconditioned. And now I have my spare prop, and it's the original prop that's less efficient. So, yes, we're running a new prop. It was a $1,000 mistake. But
It wasn't a $1,000 mistake. You bought an extra prop.
I needed an extra prop anyway. And so it wasn't really a $1,000 mistake. The mistake is going to be whatever it cost me to get the old one straightened. So
that won't be bad.
Yeah, it's about $400.
The mistake is all your friends can be like, dude, hey, Mitch can't drive a boat. Yeah. Like, that's the what part hurts.
Yeah.
The money's not a big deal.
I break shit.
You do break a lot of shit.
Yeah.
Between you and Mace, dude.
Yeah.
You guys are wrecking some shit.
I'll probably fix this one myself, believe it or not. It's not that overly bent. It's just the tips of it. And I have a feeling I'll be able to get it largely straightened out myself.
You say
it's... And use it as a spare.
Brass. But it's got to be brass something,
right? It's like bronze. It's not brass.
Okay.
So...
Can you heat that thing up enough to straighten
it a little bit? Yeah, so the new one's gold. The old one's like a greenish brown.
Well, it's not real gold.
No, like gold colored.
It like, could be real gold.
So
it could be.
You know how that boat is. Well, yeah.
You know, like bronze. Anything like bronze and plumbing. When you polish it, it's like a gold color.
Yeah. Yep.
And then as it ages and wears, it goes to like a greenish brown, oxidized kind of color. And so, yeah, the old one.
Yeah, that copper.
After I got the old one reconditioned, and this was only 34 weeks ago that I fucked up the old one. It's not even a year.
Only.
After I got the old one reconditioned, I gave it to them kind of a greenish brown color, and they deliver it back like a gold color. Like, they've
polished it up. Baby.
They've polished it up. They've put it through a heat treatment to, you know, they have to heat it up and hit it with a torch to get it bent back right and everything else. So
yeah.
But yeah. So that's the.
Do you have an oxygen acetylene?
No. I'll probably just use MapGas.
Okay. I've got one if you need to borrow it.
Yeah. I'll probably just use MapGas, and I'll go get a sandbag and a piece of leather. And
did you fix that bung?
No.
Yeah.
Not yet.
The problem is, like, I want to have mine redone, and I just want to redo them. The problem is, what am I doing with the boat?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
So you can store the boat overnight on the water.
Yeah, I know. My problem is I've got $15,000 worth of electronics on it.
Yeah.
And
no, you can store it overnight on the water in a protected area at that marina at Blue Springs. They'll lock it up for you.
Oh, really?
Yeah. They have
sold.
They have some other slips that are behind the
keypad
gates.
Yeah. Oh,
you can do overnight
perfect.
Storage there.
That's what I need to do.
And they specifically do it for trailer repairs.
Oh, that's awesome.
So
now I sound like a complete dummy.
Yeah.
You would have thought I would have researched that.
Yeah.
Story of my life, Tristan.
So I'm not redoing mine because the bungs get messed up. My boat has two center keels on it. Two shark fins in the center.
Yeah.
And if you don't hit that trailer dead center, those keels are rubbing on the bungs anyway. So
really?
Yeah, the bungs are made to get fucked up on my trailer.
Ours is they call it an easy load. As long as you're in between the bungs holding you on the trailer,
yeah,
you can literally clip it up and drive out and it floats to the center.
Yeah.
A freaking two-legged dog could park that boat.
Mine will not float to the center. Danielle and I, the first date night, we took the boat out, just the two of us. She had never done one of the two jobs to load it. And so we got it on there, but it was not centered at all.
Yeah.
And we pulled out of the water and that boat was all kinds of cattywampus and we had to pull around and back it back in. And
yeah. If ours is ever just a little off, you can float it.
Yeah.
You know, I can just back in and kind of float, and once it all kind of, and then if you just pull out real, real slow, it'll just center.
It'll center up.
Yeah.
That's kind of mine. If I do it three or four times, just give it a gas and then let off, it'll roll back in and
kind of do
it. It'll center it up.
I wonder if they make something for that trailer. Or you could design something on there to help you do that. I bet you could.
Yeah, it's probably
not that
just,
anyone cares what the fuck we're talking about, but
it's probably just dealing with those guide poles on the side. There's a lot of play in those.
Yeah.
They move.
Yeah.
And it's probably just dealing with the amount of slack in those poles to where you tighten up the slack and there's no wiggle room.
And it would be really nice too. The problem is then it's marking up your boat and then you don't
Yeah, they
know
rub
what I mean?
They rub on the rub rails.
Okay,
now I will we have torn
you
the
can
socks.
See them.
Yeah, it's got foam padding on those guide rails, and it's got canvas socks over it.
Yeah,
it came with Malibu socks,
probably
and
cheap.
Your first couple times loading an inboard, you're gonna fuck some shit up. Driving an inboard is not easy, especially at slow speeds. And so we bounced off those guide poles quite a bit and put some little tears in those socks. Well, when we took our boat in for its first service, the dealer pulled off the Malibu socks and they put their dealer branded socks on
there. Nice.
And they were like, "We assume that you're done hitting the guide poles super hard." So we went ahead and gave.
Did you look him in the eye and go, "No, we're not. I'm going to fuck those up too."
We're pretty good.
I forgot. We're not supposed to be cussing on the show anymore.
Oh, whatever.
We had some bad reviews.
No.
Yeah.
About your mouth and your politics.
We have
the guy on the left, wasn't
it? Yeah.
The guy. Is that me? God damn it.
We have 2 1-star reviews on Apple, Lord. And both of them talk about the fucking cussing that happens on this show. So
and all the politics.
And all the politics.
So we're not going to fucking talk about politics anymore, Kamala.
Cackle. Don't get me, dude.
Cackle britches.
Fucking cackle britches. Yeah. Ugh. You know, I posted this the other day.
I saw it.
I put on there. It was like, why is everyone so mad at the left for trying to cover up his decline?
It's because everyone on the left knew that, what's
the
alternative?
They, yeah.
An old vegetable or Kamala?
What were they going to do?
We're better with a vegetable.
I'm going to be honest. I don't blame them one bit for that.
No.
Yeah. I'm not mad. I think they made the right decision.
Yeah.
Hey, let's collectively maybe make a few decisions because we don't want that bag of bones in there.
Yeah. We are between a rock and a hard place.
Yeah. We do not want cackle britches, making decisions.
We're between a rock and a throat goat. We have to go with the... We're between a vegetable and a potato and a throat goat. We got to go with a potato.
Dude, you can't say throat goat. I mean, I guess you can say whatever you want, but oh my God.
Yep.
What is the matter with you?
Hey.
You want to talk about Tristan?
We should probably talk about Tristan.
Talk about Tennessee's Choice Plumbing.
As we were gearing up for the show, Tristan sees my collection of fidget spinners and he asked for one.
I can hear him over here shaking my whole freaking desk.
Yep. So
love me some tea rizzle.
I want to hit up my neighbor's kid.
I think we talked about this.
We haven't talked about it yet.
Is that 3D printed?
So my neighbor Jared, his son
Henley,
yeah, his son got a 3D printer and is just going full ham with it, And he knows that I like fidget spinners and I have to fidget with things. And so he made me.
I know
me,
you want to touch it.
He made me a 3D printed fidget spinner. All in one print, too. It's pretty cool.
Well, he'd have had to because there's no way you're getting those little pieces
in there.
That
is cool.
Yeah. It's kind of neat how that works.
Tristan's taking that home with
him. So props. Props to the Henley child. I'll leave his name out just in case anybody
redacted.
Would be concerned about that. Yeah, it's redacted.
Yeah.
But yeah, little 3D printed fidget spinner. Pretty sweet.
You know what's weird? Watching a grown man have to have 5 fidget spinners on his desk.
Well, you know.
5.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and Tristan's holding his other one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So she said, yeah.
Yeah.
Which one do you have?
He's got the green one.
He got the green. Oh, he got the green one?
The CBD one.
Mitch.
It's the CBD fidget spinner.
Mitch is. That one we were high. Looking before the show. Tristan was showing us CBD toilet paper.
Yep. Yeah.
I don't understand. Is it a joke or is it like supposed to cleanse your ass?
No, it was definitely a joke by the marketing company.
Well, it was definitely
a
joke.
There might be benefits to it. I don't know.
I'm just saying. They say that you can. I've never done this. They say that you can like pour alcohol in your butt. Or
yeah, you get
rugs.
Drunk super fast. If
you've never done that?
No, have you?
You've never keistered a joint?
No. No, I've not. I would think you'd want to do an edible. I don't think you can inhale.
I think you just absorb it.
Apparently, Mitch has like powers beyond all known.
I'm just saying that every time I go to Mexico, I pay for my entire trip on the return trip back.
I'm not saying anything, and neither's Tristan.
All you got to do is keister a little bit of product, and you are good.
Is that when you do the fly and swap?
Oh, boy. God, not that again. Okay. So speaking of absorption.
The fly and swap, yeah.
That's probably the best way to get the benefits of essential oils.
Yeah,
but you know what else has essential oils in it?
Oh, no.
You know what else has essential oils in it?
What?
Oh, no.
Ooh, I forgot.
The smelling salts.
Oh, hey, yeah. I forgot to practice.
So, Tristan, as a new guest on the show.
This is going to, apparently.
You're
pretty good
at that motion, by the way. You're shaking that bottle up pretty well.
I'm 43, man. I can work that motherfucker.
Oh, gosh.
So,
you should if I die, call an ambulance, please.
If you
Are
die,
you sure?
call an ambulance. Yeah.
You know where you're going when you die, don't you?
Yeah.
Do you really think it's better here?
I don't know.
I've told my wife, if I have a heart attack, let me go.
Yeah.
Like, I'm insured out the ass. Let me go.
Yeah, I'm worth more dead than
this
alive.
This is my fast pass to the pearly gates.
Dude, yeah. we will help you, your wife with your kids.
We will help you transition. Yeah. This is the Kevorkian trip.
Yeah.
Give her, like, a percentage of trade wins. Since I'm on the podcast,
now you're getting
you at least owe me something.
A percentage of nothing is nothing.
I tell you what. I tell you what. Everything that I post, if you die, all of those proceeds, therefore, I'll give them all of them. How about that?
There you go.
Sounds great.
All right.
You know what I'm going to...
You got to read it and examine it a little bit first. What's in there?
No, he doesn't.
Safety tips for external use only.
For external use only? Yeah. Well, there goes the keystering.
Limit to 1 to 2 sniffs per use to avoid discomfort.
Mitch had
I don't think you're going to have to worry about that.
Mitch had half of a whiff and almost died.
Focus, strength, and energy.
That's what they say. I've had them before.
Yep.
Let's see it, Tristan. Do you think that we could convince Mitch to keister it since he keeps talking about keister? You just said keister.
That's like that joke that the guy goes to the doctor and says, I've got pain down there. And the doctor says, explain it a little bit. And he says, well, anytime anything gets near the entrance, it hurts. And the doctor says, I'm pretty sure as long as you keep referring to it as an entrance, it will hurt.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, my God.
In honor of Pride Month, we're going to talk about entrances.
Oh, it's Pride Month.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, the month where all big corporations change their Facebook or social media profile pictures
to pretend like they care.
To flags, gay pride flags to
it's mental health
pander for your...
It's Mental Health Awareness Month.
Yeah.
Except for the Texas Rangers. They don't do that.
They don't do that.
No.
Do you
Chiefs
think,
haven't done it either.
Really?
Chiefs don't buy into any of that shit.
Now, more than...
For all fairness, Chiefs don't buy into any of that shit for any month.
Yeah.
Like, they're just like, no, we have a job to do, and that's win football games. And
that's why these people
make sense.
Me.
Yeah. We don't care to pander to the audiences of all that shit.
I
Now, the Royals, on the other hand, they have Pride Night.
Yeah.
Which I can only imagine the kiss cam on Pride Night is probably pretty wild.
I don't think they do it.
I bet they do.
You think?
I bet they do.
I will say this. I have a lot of gay friends. I don't care that they're gay. No, it doesn't bother me.
Not at all.
They don't look at me differently. I don't care. Do whatever you want. I've been wanting to post something on social media that just said, hey, for all of the people that I know that are gay, do you really buy in to all of this flamboyant, in-your-face, crazy crap? Do you think that trannies are a whole bunch of bullshit and you wish that you weren't associated with them? Like, I want to ask them because I want to know their truthful answer.
Problem is, on social media, you won't get truth.
No, I know. Well, and it'll be flamed up into something that it's not.
Yeah.
And so it's like, it's so hard to get people's honest reactions that it's...
Yeah.
I haven't done it, but what am I going to do? I think it would be really...
I take the advice of Morgan Freeman on this one.
What's Morgan Freeman's advice?
Morgan Freeman hates Black History Month.
Yeah, it's American history is what he says.
Yeah, Black history is American history, and why water Black history down to 1 month?
Agree 100%.
And if you take that adage, why water anything down? Yeah. Why pancreatic cancer awareness month? Why water it down to a month?
Yeah.
Mental health awareness month? Why water it down to a month? Black history month? Why? Like, are you telling me that we can only celebrate 12 things as a nation for a month?
Yeah.
And if we say, okay, well, then we'll double it up. This is Pride Month. This is also Black History Month. This is also...
You've watered it down.
Now you're just splitting it all up. And it's like, hey, how about we just celebrate and be thankful for everything all the time?
Yeah.
That's all it takes.
It's
weird.
10% of the left and 10% of the right just ruin everything for everyone.
Yeah. 100%.
That's really the problem.
Like those,
you know what I mean?
It's like the National History Days. Like, I understand you have... some history days that actually have merit.
Right.
Right? Independence Day. The Declaration of Independence was signed on the 4th of July. So that's obviously a very fixed day.
Yeah.
Right? But like some of these other national days, it's just kind of weird. Like they're just kind of a random, like, this is a day for this. And it's like,
one of my employees asked me if they were going to be off for Juneteenth. I said, no.
Yeah.
Did you look him in the eye and go, don't. You have your five holidays.
I mean, banks just started closing for Juneteenth like 2 or 3 years ago.
Yeah.
I don't...
Juneteenth wasn't even hardly talked about like 8 years ago.
Yeah.
But,
I don't...
But what's crazy is I actually kind of like the idea of Juneteenth.
I was going to say, I don't mind them... Like if... I say them, I don't mean them. I don't mind the government giving that as another... I don't mind that.
Yeah.
Right.
At all. Yeah. We're going to celebrate this... The problem is it was a tragic event that has led to it.
What,
essentially,
we were talking about this yesterday. I need to look it up. What is June?
You don't know what?
Well, so there's it's a holiday commemorating the end of slavery, right? So, I believe Juneteenth is the day where it became federally illegal to own slaves.
Yeah,
but I don't know if Juneteenth lands on that day or not.
It doesn't matter if they do. The fact that that should be a holiday is probably correct. I think it should be.
I just don't think you need to take off work for it. But, well, I mean, you can federally do it, but I'm going to work.
I agree. I think the only federal holidays that business owners should give their employees paid vacation on, in addition to their regular vacation, is Memorial Day, July 4th, Labor Day, Thanksgiving. I think they should do the day after Thanksgiving because it's just a great holiday.
Yep.
Christmas and New Year's Day. I think those are the ones that, in addition to, those are the only ones that you should be, hey, every year, these days are off, guys. This is what we're doing, guys and gals.
That's our 6 paid, and we actually do 8 paid holidays in our company. The 7th day is the day after Thanksgiving.
And
the 8th day, we call it a floating holiday.
They can pin it to whatever.
Juneteenth. They can attach. Well, no, they can attach. They can't take Juneteenth off for it. You have to attach it. It's an extra paid day that must be used in conjunction with an already paid holiday. And so, like, if 4th of July lands on a Friday, like it does this year, and you want to go to the lake for the weekend, and you want to take the following Monday off or the Thursday before off, you can use your floating holiday for that.
Well, technically, it doesn't tag to Monday.
Well, I mean, you get it. But like,
my job is to fuck with you.
Like,
you know, like he forgets. Yeah. After 4 years, he forgets.
We initially started it out with two floating holidays, and everybody used a floater for the day after Thanksgiving. And I'm like, all right, well, we'll just close.
Yeah.
And now it's one, like, that's just one of our holidays, and then and then you get a floater.
Thanksgiving's becoming, I think, my second favorite holiday.
Yeah.
Because it's usually nice out. I do like to spend time with my family.
Yeah.
Like, and I... It's going to make me sound like Pride Month. I love cooking, man.
Yeah.
I love it.
What does that have to do with Pride Month?
It makes me gay.
Does it?
I don't know.
Or does that make you a middle-aged man?
Is it a stereotype?
I'm pretty sure like half of middle-aged men love to cook.
Do they?
Yeah. I love to cook. I'm just not creative. But you give me a recipe and give me all the ingredients, I love assembling it and putting it together.
I don't know if...
I
think you're too ADHD to be a cook.
That's why I need the ingredients in the assembly plan.
Like, it all has to be
like, you give me Home Chef and you give me all the ingredients. They're pre-measured and I just got to build it. It's like an Erector set to me. Like, I'm cool with that. But don't give me a blank slate. Like, don't send me to Legoland with bins of millions of Legos and tell me to build something. But you give me directions. I'm got it. I'm good.
Okay. No creative arts for Mitch. I like it.
None.
Man.
None.
Are you a chef?
Time to try.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
I'm not a chef, no.
You don't like to cook? Does your wife cook a lot? We're going to get into you here in a second.
Well.
No?
It's okay, I mean, to say no. I don't know.
It doesn't matter. Yeah.
I just hate doing the dishes, so.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, that means she has to cook then.
Yeah.
Oh,
we don't have a dishwasher right now. So.
You don't have a... You're a plumber and you don't have a dishwasher?
No, I don't.
Why?
Well, I'm getting ready to buy a house, so then I will have a dishwasher.
This is about to be like Price is Right. Like, we surprise him at the end.
After these smell insults, we'll get into his current living situation. Let's
see. It says... 1 to 2 gentle sniffs.
Just go.
Yeah.
That's it. That's all you got to do.
That wasn't new.
Yeah.
Oh, my
see?
God.
Oh, there it is. It took a second.
Yeah, that does smell like ammonia.
He goes, "It's what are you talking?"
Woo! He's got a better reaction to it than I did.
Yeah, you're a big baby. You know, the thing is, he's still in the field working. He's got that plumber's primer.
I'm used
primer
to that plumber's primer.
My phone.
No, it really wasn't as bad as I thought it was going to be.
No, it's not.
Maybe I needed to get it closer to my nose or something.
Here you go.
Don't
be a baby.
I'm going to lose brain cells at this point.
You're Phyllis. Young enough. You still have a ton. Oh, did you see the smoke roll off of that?
I don't feel any more energy.
I told you were a pussy.
It's probably not as potent now as it was. You took that seal off.
Are you tired of complex and high credit card processing fees? The Void Podcast has negotiated exclusive rates for the Void listeners. This program's tailored for trade businesses like yours. And if you're using House Call Pro, switch and you can expect to save $80 for every 10,000 you process per month. Don't let high processing fees drain your profits. Visit empowerpayments.com/the void or call us at 913-423-1265 now and unlock your savings.
It's about the same.
Fellas, we just got placed under a tornado warning.
Oh, shit.
My phone just blew up.
Nothing stops the podcast.
Nothing will stop the podcast.
But it could be the last. I can edit this out if it
goes
to shit.
Here, we have a line of storms crossing the state line. It'll probably be here in about 10 or 15 minutes. And... a warning would be a confirmed tornado, whether visual or radar indicated. So,
it looks fine.
Yeah, they don't have the warning on the map, so I think we're good there. But it's just a typical day in the Midwest. We're dodging naders.
Man, I'm telling you.
Hey, my hometown, right after I started business, it got destroyed by a tornado.
Did it?
It wiped out like 80 buildings, yeah.
Holy cow.
They're still rebuilding. They just opened City Hall like 2 weeks ago.
Wow. When did you open in business?
October of 21.
October of 21, and it used to be TC Plumbing.
Yes.
And you had a business partner.
Yes, I did.
Talk about that a little bit.
So me and him, we worked together for what is now my competitor, and we just became really good friends. And one day we just... He was always wanting to start a business. He just has that mentality, just go, go, go. And so he's like, you know, we should start a business one day. And I'm like, okay, well,
Maybe. You know, I'm happy where I'm at. I don't like to take risks. Right.
When he said that, did you actually think, oh, maybe that could be it? Or were you just feeding him bullshit?
I was just feeding him. Okay. Yeah, I was like, well, I mean, it'd be cool, but I'm not going to do it. You know? And so I ended up just getting so frustrated with my job, I quit. And he ended up quitting with me, and we started up a business. So,
how long, I know we've talked about this before, but I don't remember. How long was it the two of you before you guys split and then you rebranded?
So we started October 4th of 21, and then the middle of July is when I bought him out that next year. So
almost a year.
Yeah.
Almost a year.
Yeah, and then early 23 is when I rebranded. So.
Oh, man.
So I kept the TC for a while.
Oh, you did. That's right, you did.
About 6 months, probably.
Yeah. Yeah. And then you rebranded to what you are now.
And then, now it's, because before it was T and C because those were your initials.
Yeah, Tristan and Clayton.
Yeah, and now it's TC for Tennessee's Choice. So you were able to incorporate the old brand. You know, there's a sex shop here in town that used to be called Priscilla's, and they filed for bankruptcy, and they rebranded, and now they're Cirilla's.
Interesting.
And it's so they could, like, just keep all the...
So when you file for bankruptcy, it's going to be Edley?
Right. Well,
Edley Plumbing.
So, like, Tokyo Steakhouse, they filed for bankruptcy and then reopened as Kyoto Steakhouse. So all they had to bring in a sign company to just move a couple letters around, and they didn't have to buy a whole new sign.
Yeah.
It's kind of smart, right? Yeah.
Edley Plumbing, it's a dog laying underneath the logo instead of over the top. Yeah. Like,
it's Medley Plumbing.
Edley.
Right?
No, not Medley.
Medley?
Edley Plumbing.
So yeah. you're in Dresden, Tennessee.
Yes, sir.
And I'm looking at you here on Google. We got 338, or depending on which platform you look on Google, we got 338 or 339 Google reviews, 4.9 rating.
Yeah, I'll take the 339.
Let's rank the 4.9
instead of 5. Right? Yeah. Like, we like the 4.9.
I do, yeah.
Yeah, it makes you more realistic.
Yeah.
How could this guy have 5.0?
Let's rank these by lowest.
Yeah. I like what looking at my low reviews.
What do we have here? Good. We got one, two, you got 3 1-stars, 4 1-stars, a 2-star, a 3-star, a 4-star, a 4-star, 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 and then all 5s.
Oh, so, that's not bad.
Out of all those 338 reviews, what is that, like 10 or 11 that aren't 5-stars?
Yeah.
That's pretty badass.
Dude, Tristan's a Tradewinds member.
And you gotta love these. Like,
I'm not gonna kiss his ass, but he's a good plumber.
Yeah,
and he's probably a really great guy to work for.
And I'm gonna
earned that 4.9.
I'm gonna read one of your 1-stars because this is one of the best 1-stars to get. Extremely high prices could be considered price gouging. 4 times more than the others.
I don't. Whoa.
That's a good sign.
That's a good one to get.
Yeah.
Okay. Why do you read it with such enthusiasm?
I'm just putting that's my Karen voice.
Is that just your thought of what it was?
Never have I been so disappointed. Never?
Never.
Literally? This is the most disappointed you've been in your whole life?
First off.
Was getting serviced by a plumbing company and their price was a little high?
You know, she reported me to the Better Business Bureau over that. And
are you serious?
Yeah, it wasn't the Better Business Bureau, but it was another website similar.
Yeah.
And I guess I missed the initial email, and then they emailed me a month later. You now have this record on your website here. I'm like, oh, okay.
And I bet for a fee they'll take it off.
Yeah, probably.
Oh, yeah.
I really don't care.
I want to ask him, did you care? What did you respond to them? Or did you
I didn't
respond?
Even respond.
Are you even a member of the BBB?
No.
We've said it a lot on this show. The BBB's dead.
Yeah.
Stop paying for a BBB membership if you are.
Yep.
Well, and this lady, too, it was over the winter, and she had frozen pipes. So we unthawed her pipes. We fixed a leak. And then she wanted us to warranty it because it froze up again overnight.
Yeah.
Well, I'm not going to do that.
Right.
So then we went back and unthawed it, and she had more leaks because the pipes broke, and she was mad about it.
Was it a crawl space too?
It was actually her well that froze up.
Ooh. But,
and it's, you know, I mean, I'm fine with that review, but it's, you know, we followed the process. We gave her upfront pricing. Like, we didn't do anything to stick her with this bill she had no idea about, you know?
Right.
So, yeah.
And that's your defense against anything, right? It's not price gouging if I gave you the price upfront And you said, yeah, I'll buy it.
Yeah.
Right?
I want to hear another review.
Oh, you want to hear another one?
All right, give me another one.
I got to search it. I closed it out of it, so I'll get it right back.
Go to your history. I know he probably automatically deletes all his history on everything.
It stays that way. No, I'm kidding.
Uh-huh.
Okay, so let's go lowest again.
Does he have a three? Give me a three.
Well, here's another one star. I asked for a fitting to be replaced, and instead they wanted to replace more lines and wouldn't even patch the problem. Well, guess what?
Yeah.
Sometimes in plumbing, that one fitting you want replaced means you have to replace a lot of the extra stuff, too.
Yeah. People don't understand.
Yeah.
Like, in order for me to even get to that, I have to deal with this.
That would be like blowing the engine on your car.
And then saying, just replace the alternator.
Yeah. Like, come on.
She had buried galvanized water lines in her house.
I love that he knows exactly who we're talking
about. Well, when you have so few bad reviews, right?
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, I would love to give you a Band-Aid price, but you have buried galvanized water lines.
Yeah. Here's another.
Yeah,
you know,
sorry.
I didn't put them in.
Yeah.
Here's another phenomenal two-star to get. And when I, like, to the listeners of the show, when I talk about this, like, there are actually good bad reviews to get.
Oh, absolutely.
There are good, like, they're bad review, like, bad reviews are going to be ones that are, like, using a lot of very strong trigger words, like con artist and scam and thieves and all these things, right?
Price gouging.
Well, no, that's a good bad star, or good low review.
Oh. Do you hear
that? Yeah, the tornado sirens are going off.
The sirens are going off.
I know.
Podcast never stops.
You know what?
I got my watch crew outside.
I'm gonna tell you right now. If I died in this podcast room, I'd be just fine with it.
Yeah.
I'd be completely
fine. I mean, I have a full concrete room downstairs if we have to go down there.
No, I'm staying here. So, is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
You did say if I died, my wife would get a portion of
it. If it was from the smelling salts.
Well,
if we die together, it doesn't matter.
That's true.
No one's going to know this is out there.
That's true.
We can hear it. Okay. Your wife.
I was just getting ready to text you. I was texting you, keep an eye on the Nader and let us know if we have to come downstairs. Okay,
yeah. We're under a tornado watch.
No, we're under a warning. There is a confirmed tornado, whether radar or visual, somewhere.
I'm fine with it.
But we can't find anything that's got little cones to show where it is.
I'm ready to go. I'm ready.
It's South Jackson County, south to Central Jackson County, which we are East Central Jackson County. So
yeah.
Should I tell my wife I love her?
Oh, yeah, sure.
Do you want to
totally do that.
Yeah. Do you want to call her?
Just say, hey, the Nader sirens are going off.
No,
here.
If I call her, she's going to absolutely be terrified. Yeah. So
she'll... I can patch him into the board, his phone.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to have to edit a lot of this. We're good. Hey, so, nothing's more exciting than the truth. I better text my
There's a tornado. If I die, I love you.
Don't say there's a tornado. Just say the sirens are going off, but we're fine and Mitch has a shelter.
Okay.
So, otherwise she will freak the fuck. Yeah. There's a tornado. Like, that's like, I'm on a plane that's been hijacked. I love you.
Yeah. We're going to hit the Pentagon.
So here's a phenomenal two-star to get. They do a good job, but I feel way overcharged. That is like the best. Like, they're telling you do great work. And it's just their ideology of what it should have cost was not in alignment with yours. And if you do everything right and their only complaint is the price, you can't ask for more than that.
No one, I don't understand. Tristan gives upfront pricing. Mm-hmm. Mitch, you give upfront pricing. I gave upfront pricing. Those type of reviews drive me the most crazy because it's like, what? I literally told you how much it was going to be. You could have just said no.
Right.
You could have said, I don't want that done.
Yeah.
And he's down there. I just pictured Tristan. Okay, we're going to cut this. We're going to do this and this and this. We're going to get you fixed and it's going to cost X.
Right.
Okay, go ahead and do it. Do the work. Get the bill. Review. This was too expensive.
You got it done too
quick. Why did you say no?
Yeah.
Yeah. What?
You got it done too quick. It should have been cheaper.
Yeah. Well, in Michael Duty, D-U-T-Y.
Michael Duty.
He does a lot of like reaction videos.
Am I the only immature one? Is it Tristan too?
He does a lot of reaction videos. He's the guy that starts his videos with, "But yeah."
Oh, yeah. I know him.
And then his little slogan is R810. And when you say that, all like right, phonetically, then. It's all right, then.
Yeah.
All right, then. Right. And
okay,
but he does a lot of captions, and he did one, like he was doing like a voiceover kind of a reaction video of like a plumber that charged too much, and he's kind of playing the parts of a customer that calls into the company or the office, and he's bitching about the customer's bitching about the price, and they're like, okay, well, he gave you all the pricing up front, right? Yeah, the pricing was fine. I just didn't like how fast like he did it. Oh, so you're mad that he like is good at his job and he went fast? Yeah. Well, I mean, I can send him back over there and he can cut your water off for a little while longer and you can be without water for a couple hours. Then you can turn it back on if that makes you feel better.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. What do you,
why are you going to get, like, and here's the challenging thing with all this. There is a, like automotive dealers do the same thing. When you take your car in for service, you would be amazed at how few minutes your car spends on the rack getting repaired.
Yeah.
You would be very amazed at how few minutes it does.
Yeah.
But the problem is you dropped your car off on a Monday morning and you don't pick it up till Thursday and they stick you with $1,000 bill and you think $1,000 for 4 days worth of repairs and it's okay.
Right. Yeah.
But really what it is you dropped it off on a Monday. They didn't even touch your car until Wednesday.
Yeah.
And then you pick it up Thursday.
Yeah.
And that your car spent an hour on the rack and it was $1,000 bill. And with the plumbers, like they can gauge it based off of what time you arrive or what time you actually started getting to work. And so it does kind of water that down a little bit. So
it drives me insane.
Yeah.
It literally drives me crazy.
Yeah. Big time.
I hate it. Sorry. Yeah. I'm very distracted all of a sudden.
This is completely off topic.
My daughter's texting me. I'm sorry.
Oh. Is she okay?
Yeah, she's fine. She's in the basement. She's down there playing soccer today.
Nice.
So, go ahead.
This is completely off topic, but where do I put my application in for the Dad Bods Tradewinds calendar that you were talking about last week? Because I think I'd be a good candidate.
Do you? Dude,
I should have snagged some photos of you surfing last night.
That's true.
Let me ask you a serious question. Do you think... You know the guys in Tradewinds as well as I do.
Yeah.
Do you think we could get 12?
Oh, yeah.
Do you think we should?
Dude, why not?
I'll do it. You'll do it. We got Ben Wall.
We don't have dad bods.
I'm not much far from
a dad
bod.
It doesn't have to be a dad bod calendar. It can just be a plumber calendar.
It could be a tradesman calendar.
There you go.
Okay. I would be in it. But if it's going to be dad bods, I don't have a dad bod.
No. I think you get a...
We could just do it.
I think you do a
calendar.
A sexy or funny or awkward, one of those three. It's got to be one of those three.
Absolutely.
Sexy or funny or awkward photo of you doing your craft shirtless.
And I get 10% of the revenue if I'm in the calendar, right?
Dude, I don't think Tradewinds makes a dime on this. Like, if Tradewinds makes money, we give it all back to the members of Tradewinds.
Yeah. What if we did it and gave the money to charity?
There you go.
Would you be okay with that?
I hear a CBD TP is a good charity to.
Okay.
Just put it towards our next meetup.
Yeah, there you go.
I could do that. Tristan, I love you. Do you realize what you just did to me?
Yeah.
I just gave you more work, right?
Do you know who does all the back end and extra bullshit?
Well, you're retired, aren't you?
You think it's this motherfucker? I'll do it. I will start. All right. Okay. All right.
Shutterfly. You can do it on Shutterfly.
Yeah. It's not getting them printed and stuff isn't the big deal. It's getting guys to get professional photos that look good.
We need Brett Rim. We need him to do one.
I love Brett. God. Oh, he's the biggest character I've ever met in my life. I love that guy.
Yeah.
I love
that
guy.
We have a whole lot of fun with it.
Yeah.
You know, we've had a lot. He was one of those guys that signed up early, kind of went wayward. I shouldn't say wayward. Just was like, yeah, this isn't a good fit for me. And then came back.
Right.
We've had like 10 of those in the last... 8 months?
Really?
Maybe. Yeah, had another one. Jake Fitzpatrick came back the other day. I haven't got a chance to talk to him yet.
Nope, I haven't either.
I'd like to see how he's doing. It'll be good. Fine.
I did a quick scroll.
Fine.
I did a quick scroll on social media just to see if where we're at with this whole tornado thing. And even the news stations haven't posted anything for an hour.
Oh, we'll be fine.
So here's one that they posted an hour ago, and it looks like if there is anything, it's going to come way north of us. So we're good.
That dumbass bitch that runs the Blue Springs community page is probably in charge of the fucking sirens.
You don't like Trish?
No. dumbass.
I got my radar pulled up, and there's like absolutely nothing. It's not loading at all.
That's because you're. So that's because you're at Mitch's house,
red right there,
and he thinks that his internet's good.
Yeah. So the upper red one is that's the one that's going to go clear north of us. The lower red one, yeah, if that holds together,
nice.
I mean, that's got to go some miles.
It's heading right towards us.
It's heading right towards us, yeah. But it'd have to hold together for 20 or 30
podcast
miles.
Never stops.
Podcast never stops.
Never stops.
I wish we could hear the sirens in the.
I can hear them right
you
now.
Can
no,
add,
no, in this in the microphones.
You can add it to the.
Yeah, I will.
To the recording.
Yeah, there you go. Just leave them blaring, like annoy everybody, like we have to hear them. So for those that don't know, I live right across the road from a fire station, and there's a tornado siren, like, at the fire station. There's also another one 3 blocks away at the school. And so, like, we get peppered with tornado sirens.
Oh, yeah.
And when our dog used to be not deaf, that's one of the few things that would freak him out, was the tornado sirens. So
I want to get...
And then once he got deaf, it was like, well, this is kind of nice.
I want to get back to Tristan. I have some actual questions for him that are business related. I want to know what he has to think.
Fire it up.
Say, and get his opinion. How, just give me a general sense of how do you view marketing in your business, and what are you doing to generate enough calls? How many guys do you have now?
I have six guys. Six. Well, I have 5 guys and an office lady.
Okay. So you're generating enough revenue through them, or enough revenue for them. How are you doing that? Give us a breakdown. It doesn't have to be polished.
Yeah, I would say, you know, starting off, it was word of mouth, and this was probably before I even met you guys.
Mm-hmm.
Just small town, 3,000, 3,500 people, you know, word of mouth kills it around there. Well, you know, when I started getting to a point where I needed to be profitable... and you guys helped me with that.
Yeah, stay on your mic or I'll kill you.
Okay.
I'm just kidding.
You know, the word of mouth kind of stopped a little bit because it's, you know, hey, I don't know a cheap plumber anymore. I know a good plumber, but I don't know a cheap plumber.
Yeah.
But, you know, learning in Tradewinds about posting on Facebook all the time, it's kind of one of those things that you think it's not productive. And then you'll have this random person message you that you have no idea watches your posts. And it's just like, hey, I see your posts every day. Just know, like, you're killing it. And if these random people see your posts, you know you're on the front of people's minds, you know?
Yeah.
Marketing, too. We love to do parades. We throw toilet paper and Tootsie Rolls out. There's a lot
of
parades.
The
yeah,
I see you do.
And we're in the process of building a go-kart like Mitch. So I just bought Dan Bianchi's. I bought Dan Bianchi's go-kart body.
Oh, did you really?
Yeah. Yep. Yeah.
Oh, shit.
So my dad picked it up from him. I got to meet my dad at some point and get it.
Oh,
so.
That's awesome.
But
you and Mitch are going to have to race.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we do a little bit of marketing. I was using Mammoth Marketing for a while, and it was good. Now I've switched to a local lady. But, you know, I'm in a B&I group as well. I feel like that helps because I'm going from my small town to a bigger city. And being in this bigger city in a B&I group is kind of helping my name get out there.
And you're, I'm going to let you continue.
Go ahead.
So Dresden's really small.
Yes.
How far is the bigger city that you're doing the B&I group?
It's about an hour.
An hour away.
About 55 miles, yeah.
But then that kind of acts as a central hub in addition to Dresden.
Yeah.
And then you will... What's the furthest away you'll go inside your service area?
So we're probably an hour and 15-minute radius, but
okay, that's not too bad.
But north of us is the state line, about 15 miles. So we really go south,
okay,
and west.
Okay.
But long term, I want to go east a little bit too and get to Nashville. You know, Aaron Benoit can have east of Nashville. I'll take west of Nashville. So
I could see. And we'll get back on the marketing thing, but I could see a day in the future where you guys are trading some serious work.
Oh yeah.
And maybe doing something together, especially maybe on some bigger jobs and stuff. I like Aaron a lot. I have a lot of respect.
Oh, he's
for
awesome.
Him.
Yeah.
He has one of those, he's a real quiet guy, but he has one of those hearts that he's like you could call him up and ask him anything, and he'd talk to you about it for 2 hours.
Yeah,
yeah.
And just give, you know what I mean?
And he'll tell you how it is.
What do you
want to
know? Yeah, he don't bullshit around.
Yeah,
that probably be the California in him.
Yeah,
you know.
But
yeah.
So I think,
continue the BNI group.
Yeah, I think, you know, that's really all the marketing that I do, I would say. I mean, I was throwing a lot on like Meta ads, YouTube ads, and switching to this new marketing company, I'm not doing as much of that. And so we rely on LSA a lot, local service ads. But I think...
Do you care to mention your marketing company? You don't have to.
It's Kemp Marketing. It's just a local lady.
Local to Tennessee.
It's kind of interesting. She only hires one person for each trade, you know, so...
Oh,
she's
really?
Got one HVAC, one plumber, you know, one... realtor, you know, whatever.
Very respectable.
And so it's kind of like almost another BNI group where those people refer each other too. And so
now when you say hires, not hires, she only takes on one client per trade line.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that's a smart way to do marketing. There's a girl here and she's a brilliant girl. And she does social media marketing. And she hit me up and we went out to lunch about a month and a half ago, somewhere in there. And she was wanting to talk about all kinds of things. And obviously she was trying to get our social media marketing if she could. But the problem is she markets for all contractors. And so like she would be marketing and all agencies do this. And if you're a marketing agency listening to this, which I doubt there are too many.
They should be.
Take the Tristan Lands model. Like, no, like a plumbing company doesn't want to sign up with you if you market for another competing plumbing company in the same area.
Yeah.
Because where are you going to divide your efforts and who are you going to give allegiance to and where's like who's going to get your focus?
Yeah.
It's going to be whoever spends more. Well, now you create like a feeding frenzy just within your own little company. And the loser of that feeding frenzy is both the contractors that are bidding for your attention.
Yeah.
And now, granted, Google does this on a large scale, but Google's presence is so much bigger than a marketing agency.
Right.
So
I think it helps, too, for us. You know, there's you have Roto-Rooter, and I don't know if there's – is there Hiller around here?
There is not.
Happy Hiller, you know
that? Roto-Rooter is the main drain cleaner in this area.
Yeah.
I mean
– I'm very familiar with Hiller.
Okay.
But they're big in Tennessee's and Georgia's and kind of eastern U.S.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's no brands that are, like, just really in your face there, you know? And so me – you know, my colors are blue and white. They're kind of traditional, you know, but just they're just in your face, and people see them. And, you know, I remember at one point I only had two vans on the road, and this guy asked me, he's like, how many vans do you have? And I said, you know, two. He's like, are you serious? I see you guys everywhere.
Yeah.
And it's just...
That's good branding.
Being in your face, you know, all the time, a rolling billboard helps a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When you decided to go from, and I'm using, paraphrasing your words from the last event.
Yeah.
When I decided to go from two rusty old white vans.
Yeah.
And get my branding done and go ahead and invest in having the rolling billboards, like you just said, was a huge step up for you.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just that awareness that people see you, you know, rolling through town constantly. And I will say, like, in Kansas City, it's probably a little different. Kansas City's so big, I only see maybe one of Mitch's vans once a month. But where you're at, smaller population, you're back and forth through town constantly. It's extremely important to brand yourself well and have a great looking truck that attracts attention. Just like you were saying, man, I see you everywhere.
You're
like, dude, we got two trucks. That's it.
Yep.
But in a small town, which a lot of guys that listen to the show are in small towns, it makes a huge difference. Or small suburbs outside of big cities.
Right.
Right.
Same thing.
Yeah.
You know?
I think, you know, nobody else really runs the transits around us. I guess I take that back. The guy I used to work for, he runs Sprinter vans, but his wrap is, it's not a full wrap. It's not that good.
No, it's pieced together.
But,
not that good.
Yeah.
But, you know, even like the Hiller or the Roto-Rooters, all them guys, they're just running Chevy vans with...
Yeah.
It's not the same, you know. It's not as big. It's not as in your face, you know.
I can't imagine that in your small town that yours isn't the best logo. And let's be honest, like, it didn't cost you a ton to have that done.
No.
And for you to really... And I'm going to get some We don't have a lot of YouTube watchers, but I'll post some of your images of what you do. It's not super standout, but it's more than enough to get it done.
Did you go with an official brand, like home service branding company, or did you just go with like a local graphics sign place to make it?
So it's kind of funny, you know, looking back on it now, I'd probably do it differently, but I went with a local guy. It was $700 and he made my logo.
There you go.
And you know, I love my logo. The only complaint I have is I wish it was more like popping colors,
more color.
But you know, Aaron Benoit, Christian Weeks, Dan Bianchi, I was talking to all of them about this. And I was like, you think I should rebrand to something more popping? And he's like, dude, you're not in California where you're competing with all these other huge branded companies. He's like, you're good.
Right.
You know? If you were to do anything, and I know this is a little off topic, but like you could take your brand and just add a color to it.
Right.
But then you're rewrapping the Vans.
Yeah.
And I mean, that is a big expense.
Yeah.
It's not like you got one truck anymore.
Yeah.
You know?
I got four.
That's a lot.
Yeah.
You know? So, where you're at.
Yeah, I mean, it works, and it, like I said, I'm standing out,
you know,
and so I like it.
Yeah, it looks really good.
Thank you.
It looks really, really good.
And we just got some shirts designed, too, that I wore at the last event, you know.
Did you mail me one?
Not yet.
Okay.
No.
I need to buy? I'll buy one. If you put them on your website for sale, I would buy one.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. Yeah. Do it.
Speaking of branded shirts, I'll just...
Diaz.
Oh, you're rocking your Diaz.
Got my Diaz plumbing shirt on.
You know.
So, in the KC Chiefs colors.
I like that color better than the other one.
The other one's Saints colors. Yeah.
I love George.
Yeah.
I love him to death. He gave us those shirts, one Chiefs, one Saints. I wore that Saint ones once.
I wear them all the time. It's the most comfortable shirt I've ever worn in my life.
George, I love you. I feel like I'm a traitor. I took that Saints shirt and it stays in the boat for emergencies only. I love you, dude. I wear my Chiefs one all the time.
Emergencies only. What is that? Toilet paper or tourniquet? is that what a fabric shirt in the boat is for?
Mostly cleaning up blood from fish.
Okay.
Stuff like that. you get something on you. You want to cool down. You get a little bandana going. They're great shirts.
Yeah.
But I couldn't do it.
Yeah.
I wear my red Diaz shirt all the freaking time.
I wear these. These are badass. I love them.
That's what I'm saying. I have the red one.
I have one in production right now that's supposed to be with our logo, but this
shirt. We've been talking about getting some UPF shirts made for Tradewinds. I'm still looking into that.
You want UPF shirts because you want
to fish.
Yeah. Mitch. Tons of guys in our group have
I know.
Wake boats, fishing boats, you do. Mm-hmm. Like when you're out and you're just drinking on the boat, you need to be wearing I don't want to be the old guy, but we're getting old.
I ain't wearing a shirt if I'm on a boat. I'm not wearing a shirt.
Dude, you have to a little bit.
I got Bimini's. We're good.
Well, if you're in the shade, that's one thing. I'm saying,
and,
you know.
I just had a skin cancer check. They cut off two moles, checked everything.
I'm
fine.
They said
it's negative, so that's bad results, right?
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Don't worry. For a 70-year-old man, you're fine. I'm 43. Oh, fuck. Yeah. Is that what they said?
No, we're good.
Hey, you want to hear a funny story?
Yes, I want to hear
about
a story.
Fishing and toilet paper. So
I can't imagine where this is going, but yes.
So,
I want to hear something entertaining, Tristan.
I'm not going to mention who it was because they're going to be embarrassed.
Whoa. Do we know them?
No.
Okay.
No.
Just in your town or people that are going to listen to
it. It's a family member of mine.
All right.
But, okay.
So your brother. Got it.
Yeah. Well, hey, you're pretty close. So I bought a couple years ago for Christmas, I got everybody like TC Plumbing branded coolers. And so... my brother, I'll just tell you who it is.
Okay.
My brother and my stepdad.
did you see that after he slipped up?
My brother and my stepdad, they're on a fishing team. And so
that's awesome.
So they stopped and they got these breakfast biscuits on the way to the lake. Apparently, tore their stomachs up.
Oh.
And there was nowhere to go to the bathroom. So what does my stepdad do? He uses my cooler as a toilet. And then you know what he does? He throws it in the water, and here's my branded cooler floating in the water with poop in it. So he pulls it out of the water and he cuts my logo off of it and then sinks it to the bottom of the lake.
Oh my God.
So
what the
So I'm not
fuck?
Giving him any more gifts. So
dude. So have you ever so you got Yeti coolers, right?
Well this have you was ever just seen like shitty coolers? Cheap, no.
So there's a brand, Shiti.
I don't no idea what you're talking about.
They're competitors to Yeti.
Okay.
But they're called Shitty.
Yeah.
Please tell me that you used Shitty coolers no. for your dad to take a dump.
No, dude. They were just cheap little coolers off of Vistaprint.
I don't know off of Vistaprint.
Shameless plug for Vistaprint. You can shit all yeah. over their product.
Yeah.
Dude, my brother, like when we had you remember my little green boat? Did you ever see that? It was like a flat bottom 16 foot that I built. Like a deck on.
A deck on. I saw a boat at Blue Springs Lake where some guy had invested a lot of time in building decks and live wells on a John boat.
So I did that for Giacomo. Because on Giacomo, if you have a fishing boat, it can't have more than 25 horse.
Mm-hmm.
So I had bought that boat specifically for Giacomo.
Mm-hmm.
For the first like year that I had that boat, every time we went out, I got to take a shit. Like, yep. Dude, what do you want me to do, man? For on Giacomo, 25 horse, it takes me 30 minutes to get to, like, what do you want me to do?
You need a bumper dumper.
Dude, he just started shitting in the live well.
Yeah.
I was like, dude. Or off the side of the boat.
In the live well.
Tristan's poor.
You got to net that out.
No, you don't. It dissolve up and pump out.
Game warden come over. What do you got in there? A couple brown trout.
You want to see it? I'll show you. I can't believe.
God.
So like
that one's over the limit. That's a 14-incher.
Even when we went to, so we took that little ass boat to Table Rock to fish a tournament one time. He's like, hey, I got to go. But at Table Rock, it's easy to get on the shore, you know?
Yeah.
So, like, you just pull up and you go. How is he not just going on the shore?
Apparently, there is nowhere close.
Nowhere close.
And it was coming.
And we got to go. Yeah. So, do you think.
And we've all been there.
I know there was
we've
no.
We've all been in that battle.
I know there was no socks after the incident either.
Yeah.
So.
I've been deer hunting with Dave, and he comes out of the woods with a sleeve missing. And you're asking, like, what happened? He goes, you don't want to know. Let's just go home.
Dude, I got that. I got that from a guy. Do you remember? You probably don't remember Jamie Brizendine.
Yeah, I do.
What?
Paintballer.
Super nice guy, but he was a little out there.
Oh, yeah. Well, he's a paintballer.
He would wear, like, short shorts and, like, knee-high socks. Like, with three red stripes on it. Like, from 1988.
Yeah,
like,
the
80s old
socks.
School.
Yeah.
He comes to the shop one day. This is when I'm laying out jobs, right? So I'm like managing these guys. He comes in one day. He's like got the one high sock up and the other sock's gone. Like I'm like, dude, what the fuck happened to your socks? Had to take a shit, bro.
Yeah.
So what? No, seriously, I had to take a shit. I had to use my sock to wipe my ass. Yeah. I was like, and I know what subdivision he's in.
Yeah.
I'm like, dude, where did you go? Well, I just went on the side of the house. Like, dude, you can't just take a shit on
I dug
the
a
side
hole.
Of the house. What are you talking about?
Hey, I mean,
I'm like, oh my God.
I've done it in the Colorado mountains. I don't know how many times.
Well,
when
that's
you go out there
different.
Elk hunting, you're out there all day. Like, you just pack TP and a little instrument to dig a hole with, whether it's a dull knife or a.
All right, so you've newly started your company and you're trying to pinch pennies. However, you don't realize the biggest thing that's hurting you right now is not gathering all of your information into one spot and making it super efficient for you to use. So the answer is FieldPulse. It gets you off of paper tickets. It gets you off of all of that crazy office work at the end of the day and reconciling all that stuff. And it lets you organize everything with ease. It puts it all into the computer. It actually puts it all into the cloud. So it's not even putting it on your computer. And it lets you organize your customers. It lets you organize all of your service calls. Heck, it'll even route you to your service call. And the best part is, even after all of that, you'll probably realize about a 100% growth in your business just in the first year of using FieldPulse. So if you'd like to check out FieldPulse and see what great looks like, click on the link in the description of this.
A garden shovel or something, and you literally dig a hole and shit in a hole and then bury it.
This guy, I completely understand that. This is a 15-house subdivision right off of main road.
Yeah.
Like, this guy's just kneeled up against the side of the house taking a dump.
He's and in then, a window well.
And then and then he's not only kneeled up against the side of this house, he's got to then pull his shoe off, pull his sock off to wipe his ass and then leave the sock on the side of the house. Then he's in
there. On the next episode of Cops, we're chasing a meth head with one shoe.
He's in the house the rest of the day with one sock, and if anyone walks around the side of the house, they see the matching sock. They know he took his shit over there. Like, dude, you have got to, like, exercise some judgment about what you're doing on the, like, come on, man.
So Tennessee has a lot of crawl spaces, very few basements.
Yes.
What's the craziest thing you found in a crawl space?
Ooh.
He's going, you can see the files.
Click, yeah.
Click, 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 click.
Dead
click.
Animals, I guess.
Yeah.
Any good dead animals?
I mean, there was definitely a dead litter of kittens I saw one time.
Oh, that sucks.
That's tough. Squirrels.
Were they in a pillowcase?
No.
Okay, good.
They were not.
People are mean, man.
I haven't seen much crazy. I will say the worst almost incident I got into, I pulled a crawlspace door, and it was just skunk. That's all I smelled. And I told the lady, I was like, I'm sorry. I know I need to get under there.
I can't right now.
I'm not getting under there.
There's a skunk. Let me ask you something. When it's a crawl space like that and there is an issue going on, do you recommend people for them to call? Do you have like a list? It's like, hey, this is going...
Mitigation for sewage backup.
Yeah, I think sewage, mitigation, removal. What's the service?
Like pest control.
Pest control, stuff like that.
There's this guy. He's like, everybody that hires him swears he can talk to skunks. Like, you will call him and he'll say, oh, this skunk just wants this. And he'll go give the skunk whatever he wants, and he'll come right in the trash bag for him.
Yeah.
It's insane. What? Yeah.
Yeah, so we had raccoons.
Yeah.
When I lived in Grain Valley, we had raccoons getting into our trash. This was after we were married. And Grain Valley would give you live traps. The city would just provide live traps.
Yeah, if you trap them, call us, we'll come pick it up.
And then, you know, they'll say, like, sometimes they would give you cans of cat food to put in the live trap. Other times they would just say, grab a couple cans or whatever, if they had them to give.
Fruit Loops. They love Fruit Loops.
And, really? And you put it in the live trap. And
I don't use the live trap, but yeah.
And the idea was to, you know, catch raccoons, and then the city would handle it.
Right.
Well, we put a live trap out literally the first fucking night. A skunk gets in there, and I look out my slider door, and I'm like, oh, shit, I ain't going out there for that. So I call the city, and I'm like, I don't know what you want me to do with this. And they were like, don't worry, we'll take care of it. And so I watched the lady, and similar-ish story, she was like, no big deal. Like, I got this. And I'm like, how are you? It's a fucking skunk in a metal cage. Like, how are you?
Yeah.
How is this no big deal?
Yeah.
And so she comes, she rings the doorbell and says, hey, I'm here. I'm going to, you know, I assume it's out back or something. And I said, yeah, it's around here. And she goes, all right, I'm going to grab a blanket out of my truck. And I'm like, what do you mean? And she goes, oh, this is a blanket. This is all it takes. And so she holds the blanket up in front of her, and she just walks to the cage. And if the blanket's up, they see is a blanket coming at them. They don't know there's a person behind the blanket.
They don't even know it's a blanket.
And so then the blanket gets draped over the cage. And then she picks the cage up, like feels through the blanket to find the handle of the cage. Picks the cage up and sets it in the back of her truck, and she's like, I'll be back.
She's like, it's no big deal. I'm going to humanely. She goes back to the shed. They pull that blanket off, and they fucking kill that dude.
No, you know what they do? They drop him in a tank of water in the cage.
Well, so Grain Valley.
That's what my grandpa does.
Really?
Yeah.
Like, that's what my grandpa does.
No, he would cover him with the blanket, take it over to the tub of water,
and then just let him drown in there?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that's crazy.
So. What Grain Valley claims they do is they
allegedly, yeah,
they claim they take them to Monkey Mountain Park and release them in the park.
Yeah, right.
That's what they claim.
What are there, a million skunks at Monkey Mountain Park?
I know, right?
5,000 raccoons.
Yeah. So another funny story about animals like that. When I was preparing to get married, I was fundraising for a wedding, right? Because we were not fortunate enough to have like parental involvement in the cost of the wedding. And so
I think I donated $10.
I was fundraising and doing all the side work.
More
and
than
all
you
the...
donated for me.
Yeah.
You didn't ask.
Well, that's true.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
If
you'd have said, hey man, I need $200, I probably gave it to you.
Yeah.
So I'm doing a basement finish for this lady. Like I'm doing the stud work and the sheetrock and everything. And I mean, we're talking dirt cheap. Like I'm working for like $20 an hour.
Yeah, you're trying to get paid.
Yeah. And when I say this, I mean like this, I was way young. I was like, I think I was 22 or 23 or something like that when I got married. I can't remember how old I was when I got married.
You were
25.
24.
So I was probably 24 when I was fundraising.
What was your
fundraising?
Your anniversary? Your 18th?
Yeah, we're coming up on 18 this year. We got married in 07. So 18 plus 7.
So did you say 07?
Yeah, so I was 25 when we got married. And yeah, 25. And so my agreement with this lady was, you pay for all material and I'll just charge you like $20 an hour cash. And I figured every 5 days or every 5 hours is $100 towards a wedding, right?
Yeah. Plus.
And I'm there working, and I'm like taking a trip through her garage to go get material, and I hear her say something along the lines of like, "Got another one." And I'm like, "What was that?" And she goes, "Oh, I just trapped another squirrel in my trap." And I'm like,
"Did she have like a regular live trap?"
Yeah, she had like a live trap for squirrels. And I'm like, "Oh, that's kind of neat. What do you do with those?" And she goes, "Oh, I just take care of them." And I'm like,
How old is this lady?
Oh, she's old. She had buried 3 husbands before I did this work. She outlived 3 husbands.
Did she outlive them, did she literally bury 3 husbands?
I don't know. Her name was Becky Herrera. She is cool, cool lady. Okay.
Yeah, she was killing those motherfuckers.
Probably. So I run my load of stuff down to the basement, and I come back out to grab another load, and there her car is running in the garage with the door up, and she has like a knapsack that she's put the cage in and tied it around the muffler of her car.
Oh, my goodness.
And I'm like, "Oh, so I see what you mean when you say you take care of them." And she's like, "Yeah, I just do this for about 30 minutes, and then I just throw them in the trash."
Throw them in the trash.
And like, she conveniently left out the part that she's killing them.
First
like,
off,
I just do this and then I do that. Yeah. Like, first it's off, just this simple.
First off, it's fine.
No, right. I mean, it's
all of these
fucking
people
squirrels.
Are like, dude, you know what they used to do on farms? When,
oh, right.
So they got 8 barn cats. They don't fix any of them. And then they have all these litters and they're like, "What do we do?"
Yeah.
They used to put them in pillowcases and throw them in the pond.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
that's
yeah.
what they did.
Yeah.
Like, everyone's like, "Oh my God."
No, it's survival of the fittest, and it's freaking life.
Yeah.
Like, it's just part of it.
Yeah.
So that's almost as humorous as like, we've, for 13 years we've been here, we've shot squirrels out of our window in our kitchen.
No, you haven't.
There's no shooting in city limits.
And then
seen anything.
We recently learned that it's actually illegal to shoot a pellet gun in city limits.
Do you think
shoot deer? So.
Do you think that she wrapped him up in a knapsack,
the old
guys, and then just tied him to the deal? I got it, Tristan. Yeah, you're also not allowed to shoot deer.
Yeah.
Per Tristan.
I gotta go to the bathroom.
Oh, he's gonna pop.
Ahead. You're all right.
Yeah. I'm sorry.
It's okay. Don't worry about it.
So what's funny is like
we don't edit these at all, by the way.
Yeah.
Okay. Just letting you know. You're fine. You want to get another water, or are you good?
No,
I'm
good. So,
Rizzle, what should we fuck with him?
What's funny is, like, we've had some involvement with the cops at our house here recently about said BB gun. And that's where we learned that shooting a BB gun inside city limits is illegal. We also learned that shooting an Orbeez gun and a Nerf gun is also illegal.
Didn't we just talk about this?
Maybe, right? But as I'm learning all of this, I'm like, that's crazy, because I literally shot a record book deer in my backyard with my bow. And the game warden came to check it out.
And didn't say
and
shit.
And didn't say shit about me violating any ordinance. And the game warden was like, "Good catch. Like, good shot.
Yeah.
Congrats."
I will say, that is probably...
It's got to be one of the most asinine laws ever. You can't shoot a Nerf gun in the city limits of Blue Springs.
Agreed, but that's not where I was going with that. That is one of the biggest deer that I've ever seen personally, like where I knew the person that shot it.
Yeah.
Well, you know what I mean?
Yep.
That's a huge deer.
Yep.
But yeah, it's illegal as shit, apparently.
Yeah, apparently. I'm keeping a tune on social media.
No, yeah, I
35 minutes ago, there was a funnel cloud in Olathe.
I'm trying to not say you shot that deer without saying, "Hey, Mitch, don't tell anyone you shot that deer in city limits."
No, I mean,
it's
fucking like, I've got Facebook posts talking about shooting it in my backyard.
Because of the nefarious, weird activities that are happening in your neighborhood.
Yeah.
Because the laws of...
We'll give you guys a download here soon on what all's happening.
They
with
don't,
that.
Like, the prosecutor...
Prosecutor.
The prosecutor could... Like, statute of limitations is not out on that.
Right.
Like, if they wanted to. I know that the game wardens don't give a shit, because them guys are doing it in their yards constantly.
Yeah.
But, you know.
Yeah.
I do have some more...
Is what it is.
I do have some more questions for Tristan. When,
Fire away.
If he ever
he's back.
Comes back.
Look at there. He peed real quick. And
I'm back.
He told me earlier, so the first just a little transparency. A lot of guys don't do this on their podcast, but we do. We don't care. Before the podcast, I was like, Tristan, you better go to the bathroom. We got to do this and you got to do that. He's like, I'm fine. 10 minutes later, I'm like, oh, we may start here in a minute. I'm fine.
Yeah. Then he pees before the podcast and now he has to pee again.
I don't think he ever went before the podcast.
We're keeping him well hydrated.
No, he went downstairs and drank like 3 glasses of water.
Had some Chex Mix.
Had some Chex Mix and maybe a breakfast biscuit.
Yeah.
In the afternoon.
Because I woke up on time this morning.
So. Do you want to talk about you sleeping in today?
No.
Let me... So we haven't talked about this. Let me ask. So usually guys will go on ride-alongs. Was any of that planned today?
It was...
You were going to go on a ride-along with
Mitch? We were going to try to if we could, but it didn't work out.
But it didn't work out because...
Because there was no calls on the board.
Yeah, our schedule was really light today.
You had no calls on the board today?
We had calls, but not a consistent volume of calls to send Tristan out to ride with a couple of them.
My alarm may or may not have went off.
Tristan's alarm may or may not have went off, and Tristan may not have woken up until 10 a.m. because we kept him out late last night, wake surfing and Chipotle-ing.
First
until
off,
10 o'clock at night.
It First was off, the Chipotle.
It was totally the Chipotle.
We did not go. I had my last night of soccer, thank God.
Yeah.
Last night, so I didn't get to go.
We as in me and Mason.
Yeah. But, dude, it was only like 10:30.
That's late for us old guys. I have a kid.
Do you know
we're old. He's not old.
No, but he has a kid.
Do you know what time my daughter goes to bed?
That's where I'm going with this.
8 o'clock.
Tristan, how old is she now?
9 months.
9 months.
Yeah.
That's why.
Yeah.
He literally last night.
Serenity.
He knew last night that there was going to be no crying baby. There was going to be no dogs, no wife nagging. He's in a cold hotel room. He's had a busy day. His mind was like,
I don't know
fuck
if he hit up the hotel
else.
Bar afterwards, but I do know that.
The bar was closed when I got back.
Oh, yeah. Good. Tristan doesn't drink very much.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
I don't think he drinks hardly at all.
I do know that alcohol was not related to the 10 p.m.
No, that's what I'm saying.
Bedtime.
I'm saying his brain was like, finally.
Right.
You're out, dude.
Yeah.
So I put my phone on the floor because I did not want to be woken up from a phone call.
Yeah.
I probably should have put it on the nightstand. I would have been up at 8 o'clock.
Well, I mean, your wife was texting me on Facebook. Yeah. Like, hey, I can't get a hold of Tristan.
She thought I might have been dead.
Yeah. No. Well, okay. Young married couple. I understand. Yeah. You know, they panic early on both sides.
Yep.
Not just a woman, but...
And if she's listening to this, I can vouch. There were no, like, erroneous activities. There was no crazy... Like, it was literally me, Tristan, and my son on a wake surf boat. And then we hit up the gas station. We hit up Chipotle. We went to the storage unit to put the boat away. We ate our Chipotle, and then Tristan went home.
Yeah.
Like, there was... what's funny is when he got over to our house today, his wife called. And here I am in the background. I'm like, throw me another dollar or two for the stripper. Hand me another beer.
Oh, my God. First off, if there are nefarious activities, I am 100% involved. And I didn't get to see Tristan yesterday. To be honest,
I guess you didn't care that much to see me.
I was pretty bummed, if you want to know the truth. Had to take, I almost said shithead. I had to take Shorty to soccer last night.
Shithead.
So I didn't get to go. And then I didn't get invited to lunch yesterday. I text Tristan in the middle of the day. I'm like, hey, buddy, how are you going? How's everything going? Is Mitch treating you all right? Everything okay? He's like, yeah, we're eating lunch right now. Man, what the fuck? You couldn't call me and say, hey.
Oh, it's in the mail. You should get it any day.
Yeah. Hey, you want to go to lunch? Nothing.
Yep.
Not nothing. Zero.
Well.
Zilch. I thought we were closer than that.
You don't come out in public.
First off, I'm out constantly.
And if you would have showed up on the boat, you would have had to try to wake surf. And then
first
you would
off,
have had to...
you invited me to the boat. I'm talking about lunch. I couldn't go on the boat because Layla had soccer. Were you not listening? Of course you weren't. You have ADHD and you're on your phone.
I'm keeping an eye on the apparently tornado on the ground at Arrowhead Stadium.
I know. I'm giving you... This is the one time I'm going to cut you some slack because seriously, the tornado sirens have been going off the entire podcast.
They're not right now. They shut off.
So as the tornado gets closer, they shut down?
Yeah.
Apparently.
That makes a lot of goddamn sense.
I mean, maybe we can't hear it because it's just...
You want to hear something ironic?
That was thunder, by the way.
So, you know how earlier I talked about how my town got destroyed by a tornado?
Oh, yep. Shit. Yeah.
Do you know what they have not put up since the tornado?
Tornado sirens.
Yes.
That seems weird.
It's not in the budget.
Federal issue.
It's
not in the budget. That's number one.
That is over Arrowhead Stadium.
Dude, let me see that.
So the Chiefs are petitioning to get a new stadium. Yeah. And they're considering moving to Kansas or getting out of
gambling,
Kansas City.
Right?
And yeah, they're doing some gambling stuff.
That's
and
not a tornado,
else.
But that's a
that's,
that's
a
wall
giant
that's
funnel
a wall,
cloud.
That's a wall cloud.
Yeah.
That's a dropped wall cloud. Look at that.
But
nice.
The Chiefs might get that. I mean, no tornado is going to take out Arrowhead. That place is all concrete. I mean, it'll fuck it up, but it's not
well,
going to level
would,
the stadium.
It would fuck it up enough for them to get insurance and then just tear it down the rest of the way.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't want to talk about that. I
when was that posted?
We're in an hour and
3 20, minutes ago. All right.
20 in. I do want to ask Tristan a couple more questions. When you first signed up for TradeWinds, and this isn't a TradeWinds push, you may have been, I can think of you and 3 other guys, I won't name them, were maybe the most shy,
yeah,
pinned down, unsure of where you were going at any given time, right? Like, is
absolutely
that fair to say?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
How, so I started, we kind of started the show with, now you've kind of blossomed into a minor celebrity, definitely with TradeWinds, Jared Williams podcast, our podcast. You do all of your advertising and marketing through Facebook. You are on Facebook. You're in parades. You're putting yourself out there. And if someone had showed me a version of you now and showed me a version of you then, I would have thought that it was a complete impossibility that you were able to transform yourself into who you are now. So my question to you is, how did you get over, and I know this is probably going to be super long-winded, and it's fine, take as much time as you need. How did you transform from that shy, barely a business owner person to who you are now, traveling all over the country, doing all of these things, putting yourself out there on social media? Like, it had to be a serious process.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
How did you do it? For those of, like, we have old guys in TradeWinds that won't fucking go on social media because right. there's this stigma or whatever.
Yeah.
And you were able to be like, nope, I'm going to do this, and this is what I'm going to do. How did you do that?
Well, I'll kind of start at the beginning, I guess.
Okay, go ahead.
So
you can
rant
if you want for a little bit.
I was doing some research before the podcast. So I always thought that when I started my business, like the podcast, The Void, was like within a month after I started my business. So I started in October of 21, but I think you guys started like January of 22. Is that right? Something like
the
that?
The podcast, we would have started January of 22.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I remember finding you guys like on episode 2 or 3.
Oh, and shit, so super early.
Like, as you guys grew, I grew too, and I implemented a lot. Like, I did the Smedley Family Plan, which it was our TCC program.
Yeah, TCC.
We don't do it much now anymore, but, like, I tried to implement that all the time, and then when you guys announced TradeWinds, I was like, okay, well, I obviously love listening to these guys. They've helped me a lot, so I'm going to join this. And I think, you know, I always just want to be the best version of myself that I can. And so when people say, hey, you need to do this, even if it's outside of my comfort zone, I'm going to try it. You know, like, I would never post on Facebook at all unless it was about, like, a Cubs game or something like that, you know. But, you know, seeing Mitch every day posting all the time, like, I was like, I would think, you know, what would so-and-so think of me if I posted this? This is so stupid, you know. But then I started doing it, and, you know, it's kind of like what you guys talk about on the podcast. You know, the first few episodes were not that good, but the more repetitions you had, the better you got at it. And it's just going outside of your comfort zone, doing things that you're not comfortable with, and then eventually you'll start getting comfortable with it, or at least getting a little bit better at it every single day.
Yeah.
You know? And I think, to sum it up, that's what it is. I mean, there's so many different things of advice you guys have gave me, but it's just implementing those and going outside of your comfort zone and not just stewing on it and thinking about it, but just doing it.
Do you think that it was... like, per, I don't want this to be a Tradewinds thing. I want this to be a Tristan thing. Do you think it was your willingness to do that, just to say, I don't care what anyone else is going to think. I'm going to force myself to do this because I know that if I do it, I'm going to be a better person. I'm going to be better, and I'm going to grow, and I'm going to do all of these things.
I don't see. I don't know. Like, I
know this is a difficult question to answer.
I struggle with imposter syndrome a lot, like just believing in myself.
Yeah.
I think what really pushed me was really just relating to a lot of the other guys in the group. And, you know, that first meetup we had, just connecting with other people. And I wouldn't say like competing, but seeing where Mitch is and like, hey, I want to get to where Mitch is. Or seeing where Aaron Benoit is, like, hey, I want to get to where Aaron Benoit is. Like, I maybe didn't believe in myself, but I saw, like, there's potential, like, anybody can get to this point. So if I do these things, I can get to that point. And then I've grown confidence since that point. You know, I still struggle with imposter syndrome a lot.
Yeah.
But I've also gotten a lot of confidence, too.
Yeah.
So, if that makes sense.
No, yeah. It's a complete transformation of, like, I know this is what I want to be, and I'm going to force myself to do it. And then surrounding people that are at that same level.
Yeah.
And then building confidence just one step at a time from that.
Well, an imposter syndrome never goes away.
Yeah.
No,
imposter syndrome stays three steps ahead of you the entire journey, because there are things your first bout of imposter syndrome happens before you ever even start your business. You're like, I'm not a business owner. This is not me.
Right.
Yeah. I've heard you say
100%. Yeah.
Yeah. And so then once you realize, okay, I am a business owner, but I'm not as successful as these other guys. And then it's like, well, hold on. Those other guys have one truck and they've been doing this 20 years. And here I have five trucks or three trucks or whatever. And I've been doing it a lot less time.
Yeah.
And so then it's like, this can't be real. Surely this isn't me.
Yeah.
And then you start putting yourself around like-minded individuals, other trades-based business owners. And then you're like, okay, well, you know, this still doesn't feel right. And then you start realizing we're all fucking imposters.
Right.
Like, Aaron Benoit has two locations, right? Brandon Vita is doing over a couple million a year.
Yeah.
You know? We're all fucking imposters. And when you start talking with people that are doing things at the level you're doing them, you start realizing, like, we all have the same fucking problems.
Mm-hmm.
We had a coaching call with Brandon Vita this morning. And, like, he has the same problems we all do. He's got to get up with a kid in the middle of the night and feed it. And, you know, a kid that's crying or whatever else. They have cash flow problems at the $3 million level. And we have cash flow problems at the $1 million level. And in the business at $200,000 has cash flow problems.
Yeah.
Like, we're all in the same battle. It's just some of us have chosen to stick it out and to know that the results are on the other side.
Yeah.
Where are you living right now, Tristan?
I live in a 500 square foot apartment attached to the backside of our shop.
Exactly. So
for now,
from talking about Vita to Tristan, well, you're basically homeless, you motherfucker.
Yeah. No. What I'm saying is Tristan's in the process of buying a house,
yeah,
and he's got to wait for the house to become available. And so, like, that's what equalizes the imposter syndrome. It's like, no, you fucking earned it.
Yeah.
Like, all of your buddies that, like, let's say you have a plumber buddy that never had the balls to start his own company. He's living in his house, comfortable.
Right.
He's got his benefits. He's got predictability.
Yeah.
And here you are living in a 500 square foot section of building off your shop. Like, because that's what it takes for you to get to the next level. Right. Yeah. The Savannah Bananas, we talked about them last month. That noise, by the way, is just rain.
No, I was gonna add to your point there. You know, that imposter syndrome is something. The sacrifice he's making by staying in that apartment and doing what he has to do, when we think about our own successes and where we want to go and how we got there, we don't credit ourselves for doing that.
Right.
For saying, no, me, my wife, my new baby are going to live in this tiny place.
Yeah.
And make this sacrifice. We don't give ourselves credit for doing that to get to the next step.
Right.
Well, you know what I mean? We just completely we completely step past it for some reason.
What's crazy is we tend to see it in all other areas other than business, right?
Yeah, it's totally crazy.
For instance, Dave, when you moved out of Blue Springs to Grain Valley,
okay,
what's the first thing you built on that land?
I built that building first.
Right, and where did you live when you first moved to that land?
I lived in that apartment.
In the fucking building, right? Yeah, and what's that apartment? It's 800 square feet?
It's 800 square feet.
Right. And so, like, there's a sacrifice that you made. You built the shop. You built living quarters in the shop. You lived in the living quarters while you were building your house.
Yeah.
We do it on the personal level, and nobody ever bats an eye. They're just like, oh, that's cool. But then all of a sudden, when we do it as business owners, we start to feel like, I don't deserve this. Motherfucker, deserve all the house and property and land that you have. And you deserve it, and you systematically worked up to that, right?
Yeah.
You bought the land, you built the shop, you built living quarters in it, you moved into the living quarters, and then you took your cash flow and you diverted it to building a house.
Yeah.
Right? And there's layers to this. And like a lot of the big wigs and the big financial people will talk about there's levels to this shit, right? That's the cliche saying. And it's like, no, there really is.
Yeah.
But like, don't ignore the levels that private people with jobs go through to advance their life.
Yeah.
But like, don't ignore that and then feel bad about the things that business owners have to level through. You know, when we started our company, I was working 6 days a week running every call I could. Yeah. And I was selling anything for anything anybody would pay because I wanted customers.
You were like, let's be honest, you're just whoring out.
You're
literally, I need customers. I need money.
I need Google reviews.
I don't care.
I need customers. Yeah. I'm willing to do this for 25% off if I can get to work, right?
Yeah.
And now we transition and we grow out of that once we get a little bit more stable. But that was like first gear of the business. So like other gear changes in business is like, let me downsize my personal life so I can free up the cash and take a smaller paycheck from the business so that the business can stay funded to get to the next level.
Yeah. And I want to hear from Tristan about this too, because he does. We've talked about this, the imposter syndrome thing. You at the event, you talked about it and it was fucking fantastic. That you still deal with it now, right? I don't know how you could, being that you've gone through what you've gone through in your business. You literally fired everyone and started over twice and built it from the freaking ground up. You've basically built three businesses since you've started, and they've all been successful.
In one business.
And you still have the imposter syndrome.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So like you were saying, you know, I still have it. I deal with it, this and that. How? You know what I mean? I know there's no answer for it because people, regardless, still deal with it. But like Mitch was saying, you're not even giving yourself credit in that business for literally tearing that thing to the fucking ground two different times and starting over.
Well, what I want to hit at, imposter syndrome is actually a good sign.
Yeah, it means you're humble, for one.
Imposter syndrome means you're humble. And imposter syndrome means you're not selfish. And imposter syndrome means that you care for the people around you.
Yeah.
That's why you have it.
Yeah.
Right? I can remember when our business started taking off and started doing things at a mild level of success, and we had worked tirelessly and endlessly and everything else. And we finally got to a point where we had people to do the work and we just had to manage things and come up with the ideas and steer the ship and everything else. There was a time, and this was like recently post-COVID, because we started our business like the year of COVID. Remember when you could like the joke was like, man, have you seen the flight prices lately? Like, anybody want to fly to San Juan for lunch?
Yeah.
Because it was like, you could fly to Puerto Rico for like $49.
Yeah, no one wanted to go. They were like, hey, if you'll help us take this plane by putting gas in it, we'll take you.
Right, right.
Like, that's what it was.
And so Danielle and I took advantage of that early on, and we took a weekend trip, like two or three nights to Cancun. And we found this dirt cheap place. It was like $3,200 for the both of us to go. No, it wasn't even 32. It was $1,800 for both of us to fly to Cancun and spend three nights
there. That was in 21, I think.
Yeah.
Because we had just started the podcast, I think, and you guys went.
And I felt bad.
Maybe it was 22.
I'm like, I can't leave my guys. Yeah. I don't feel like I've earned it. Like, this just seems so, like literally it was a date night, and Danielle and I were chatting about, like, hey, we should go to Cancun. And date nights are on Wednesday nights.
Yeah.
Like, literally the next Friday, we were leaving to Cancun. Like, it was, I mean, it's the thing that happened in, like, under 48 hours.
Yes.
And I'm like, this doesn't feel right and all this stuff. And it's like, no, hold on. I've earned this. And people spend a lot more on a lot less. And I can get a whole weekend away with my wife, no kids, no nothing, for $1,800, all inclusive. Like,
take it.
I'm doing it, right?
Yeah.
And so, but the imposter syndrome is the humbling factor of, like, you know, you do care for your people and you do feel a way about taking time away from it. And I don't, like, imposter syndrome's real. I don't think it's a bad thing. I think it's more of like a gut check moment of like, no, I'm still a real human. No, I still have a level of care. And the moment you think you deserve whatever you feel imposter syndrome over, that's bad.
That's the bad part of imposter syndrome. It robs you of the joy of your accomplishments. Mm-hmm. That's the bad part of imposter syndrome. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's not that it's a bad thing because it drives you to be better.
Right.
But it robs you of your joy.
Yeah.
And that's a problem. I do.
Real quick.
What?
I just got an email due to the weather. The event that we were trying to attend is canceled.
So we can talk about whatever we want.
We can go as long
Tristan's
as we
is going to come with me to my house and hang out for a little bit.
Sure. We're going to go fishing in this, right?
Dog,
that's
you're crazy.
That's when they bite, right?
No. That's when we cry and drown. Where's that?
Blue Springs.
Nice.
Nice.
Oh, it was on the ground in Blue Springs.
Tornado on the ground viewing from Blue Springs 4 minutes ago, and it already has 52 shares.
I'm going to get...
Hold on. Where is this? This is off Valley View in Blue Springs. I don't know what direction they're looking.
Well, would have had to have been west. Valley View. That shit.
That's north, west central Blue Springs.
Yeah. It's close. That's like 2 miles.
Yeah, they got to be looking north. They're
looking northwest. I guarantee it.
They are looking...
People are listening to the podcast like, man, what did these guys shit about the tornado? They didn't die.
Yeah. You got insurance on your new truck?
Oh, that has to be looking north.
Yeah, it's got to be.
There's no way that's not.
Here, let's look at the radar.
I mean, I've been keeping tabs on the radar and everything, and we're good.
Okay.
So
I want
to the listeners of this show, this is how Midwesterners handle tornadoes. It's like... Kids, the tornado's not going to be here for another 12 minutes, so go ahead and get a shower in.
I don't know. That looks like a hook right there.
Oh, that is...
That's below... That's my house.
That's south.
That's my house.
Good thing you're here.
That's a pretty good hook.
Yeah, no shit. That's a pretty good hook. Holy shit. But where? I wanted to, because people don't know what we're talking about with Tristan, and why would he still have imposter syndrome after starting over twice?
Mm-hmm.
Would you be okay with going into, like, why you fired all those guys,
sure.
why you got rid of them,
yeah.
hired more, fired those motherfuckers, too, and then started over?
Yeah.
Give us a synopsis of it.
Okay.
I'm putting him... We did no pre-planning for this show, so...
Our pre-planning was eating Chex Mix in the kitchen.
Yeah, so. I've been putting him on the spot today.
Yeah.
It's good for him.
So, you know, I rebranded... Mm-hmm. After I bought my business partner out and I had a couple guys and things were going okay. You guys had helped me at that point get my hourly rate to up
from
because
one, from
I was like
$25.
Yeah. And I thought you guys were crazy and you know,
it took 3 months to convince you.
Yeah. And it's gone up since then, you know, but things were okay. You know, I didn't have SOPs in place. I was just trying to be the guy's best friends, you know?
Yeah.
And eventually that kind of came crumbling down. And, you know, you start having daily fires that you put out and it's not, they don't resolve themselves. It's the same things over and over and over again.
Was it partially them not going through and doing what you thought they were supposed to do? Was it a combination of they didn't know what to do because there weren't processes in place?
I think it was that
were they shit-ass employees?
I was a nice guy and they knew they could do what they wanted, and not having confidence or understanding why we charge what we charge. You know, I had one guy that would consistently bill out half of a task hour and spend 3 hours there on a job. Like, it, I would think he had an amazing day if we did $1,000. And then, you know, after I hit my reset, which I guess we'll get into in a few minutes, I started running on my own, and it was like, we do 2,000, 2,500 a day. And it's like, no, this is where we need to be, you know?
Right.
But I think it was a little bit of me not setting expectations, me not making them realize what they needed, but them also not really caring where or seeing what vision I had, or, and they didn't want to be invested in that same vision, you know? And so when I finally sat down with them and I was like, look, this is what's going on. We're not profitable. This is what I expect. And this is where I want to be. You know, the sky's the limit. I can have 20 vans on the road by the time I end my career. You know, I don't need you to get to that point. You're welcome to be with me. But if you're not going to help me, I will do it by myself. And so then that, at that point, it was within a week that I had let both of them go because I gave them one more chance. It didn't work out.
They weren't on board.
Yeah. And then that's when I started running on my own, and it's like, well, look, I'm following the process and I'm doing 2,000, 2,500 a day. You know, I'm consistently billing out what our goals should be every day, 5 hours, 4 hours, you know.
And that gave you, I'm assuming, confidence that the process that you had built,
it works.
It works.
Yeah.
We can do it. I'm getting the calls. I can sell these calls we're getting through this process. Yeah. I know that my quote-unquote employees should be able to do 80% of what I'm doing.
Yeah.
And they weren't.
Yeah.
So you may, like, that's affirmation that, okay, I fired those guys. They're gone. They were worthless. I know I was right.
Yeah.
And then, like, steps from there.
Yeah. I mean, so that first month I was by myself, you know, I think our best month had been like 72,000 before that. And I did, if I didn't hit 80,000, it was just right under 80,000 that alone. I did by myself. Yourself. Yeah.
That's, dude, that's fucking hustling too.
Yeah.
I think Mitch's best month ever is like 19.
Yeah. 19,000. He probably got like 700 Google reviews that month,
it's,
though.
It ain't 19, I'm but just, it ain't 80.
I'm just kidding. But I, 80's, I, 80 is phenomenal. Yeah.
And that was
80 is a $1 million year. About 83. 83.3 is a $1 million year.
I was just busting Mitch's balls. He's had some pretty big months on his own.
And that wasn't sustainable. Like, the stars aligned. I had several big jobs lined up that I did on the weekends and then ran service during the week, you know. But the fact of it was, I can do it without them and do better than when I had three vans on the road. Yeah. You know?
Right.
That
lets you know what's possible. And once you know what's possible, your limiting beliefs start to go away.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of people that get entrapped by their employees. And I applaud you for not getting entrapped by your employees, because there's a lot of people that'll be like, well, I can't fire this person because they've been with us forever and I made a promise to them a long time ago, or it's my dad, or like whatever the case may be. And it's like, no, when it comes down to business, it's your vision that sets the tone. And if you have somebody on your team that isn't in alignment with your long-term vision, you got to get them off of there as fast as possible. Because they're only going to slow down your growth. And when you get the right people on the team, like, I would take a C player with amazing heart over an A player with no heart.
Right.
And when I say C versus A player, I'm talking about like sales performance or install performance or whatever. But like, I would rather have B and C players that maybe underperform in the revenue side of things, but like absolutely perform in the culture.
Yeah.
I would take those guys over a highfalutin sales guy that does not align with the culture at all. And there is story after story after story of companies that fire their lead sales guy, and yet their annual pace never drops and their monthly revenue never drops. And they were just entrapped into this idea that I can't let go of this guy because he's why we're successful.
Yeah.
He's why you're toxic. It's not why you're successful.
What's that Victor Rancourt quote? If you make exceptions to keep the peace. You're a hostage in your own work environment.
That was the best. I had 10 people say to me, I'll remember what Tristan said about that exact quote.
Really?
Yeah. Seriously. They were like, dude, that's great. Because, like, we've had guys on call say, dude, he's so right.
Yeah.
And about what you were talking about. Yeah. It's just like,
I've been there too, and a lot of other business owners have been there as well, where you've been the hostage in your own business. And then once that anxiety is relieved from you and that guy's gone out of your business, it's like, oh my gosh, I enjoy doing this again.
Yeah.
Right? It's crazy how that comes around.
Yeah. So, Tristan, so you're back on your own.
Yeah. You
the biggest month you've ever had.
Yeah.
You know the process works. At what point did you say, okay, I know my process works, but I know I can't work at this pace forever. I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to start hiring again.
Yeah.
Like, what was the time gap there?
It was probably about a month. It was me kind of catching up on all these bigger jobs we had sold. And then I remember texting my CSR one day, like, I had been running ads on Indeed.
Yeah.
And just making it known that, hey, I'm hiring. I was handing out all these pamphlets and stuff like that at supply houses, and I finally told her, like, hey, let's start calling some of these applicants and setting up interviews, because I can't
I'm gonna keep on doing this.
Yeah.
I'm gonna die.
Yeah. It's, and I didn't realize it at the time, but you know, if I wanted to grow, that's what I needed to do. But I wasn't even thinking about that. I was just thinking about, like, I just need help. Like, I can't do this by myself. Yeah,
just exhausted.
Yeah, and so we set up 3 interviews one day, and it wasn't, like, I was obviously interviewing them, asking them questions, but what I was trying to do that Mitch kind of sold me on at one point was sell them on your business. Yeah. Even if you're not hiring, take that interview and sell them on your business, so when you are hiring, they're there, you know.
And telling other people, like, hey, that Tristan, man, he'd be a great guy to work for.
Yeah.
I didn't get the job, but, that'd be really great.
Yeah.
And what Tristan's talking about, just so everybody knows, is one of the things that we coach in Tradewinds is if you are interviewing somebody that works for a larger company, or you're interviewing somebody that you feel is connected in the industry of people that you need to pull labor from, if you're interviewing that person and you realize this is not the person for you, don't shut the interview down early. Keep selling the hell out of your business and the opportunities that you have, because that person talks.
Mm-hmm.
And you're not, like, the moment you realize they're not for you, you're no longer interviewing them. You're using them as an advertising soundboard for the opportunities at your company, because you know that loose-lipped dude is going to go talk to everybody that he works with and all of his friends. And he's going to be like, man, I just had a badass interview with TC Plumbing. God, I hope they hire me. They got benefits. They got trucks. They're new. They're wrapped. They look good. They got uniforms and everything else. And they will help bring attention to your business and possibly a rock star candidate in the future.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so, you know, that was like in the back of my head, that's what I was doing. And I ended up hiring all 3 of those people within, I don't know, a month and a half. And 2 of them didn't work out. You know, it was that hire fast, fire fast mentality.
Yeah. See you, dog.
And it, you know, kind of looking back on it now, I don't know that even today I have my SOPs in place where they need to be, but I have those expectations in place. Like, this is the goal, and I want you to be on board with that goal. These are our core values. And if you can operate under all that, we're going to thrive.
We're going to be good. They know their expectations.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you have them set in stone that these are our expectations. Yeah. And so it kind of gives them a guideline of if I as an employee fall out of these expectations, Tristan's going to fire my ass.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, so they're not running willy-nilly all the freaking time.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, that's one of those things. So, like, if you're putting a business together, core values are huge, but you have to make sure that they're core values you can live by as well. Because one of the quickest ways to get your entire team to dismiss the power of core values is the owner of the company living outside those values, right? So if the values, like our values, are gratitude, integrity, value, excellence, and service. And if there's ever a moment where I am not grateful, I don't have integrity, I don't provide value, I don't deliver excellence, and I don't deliver an amazing customer experience, my guys will see through it. And now it doesn't matter what my core values are. If I don't live up to them, they're done.
You have no credibility.
No credibility, right?
Shit.
And so you got to come up with values that you yourself can live by, and you got to be willing to hold yourself accountable to those values. And as long as you do that and your guys never see you deviate from the values, then it makes a great platform for you to uphold the values to your team.
Yeah.
Which is what you've done, and you've done amazing at it. The other thing is, like, values and a good customer experience process are the two things that will propel your business forward faster than anything else. When we talk about systems and processes, a lot of people think it's like, here's how to replace a water heater. Here's how to solder a coupling. Like,
you're not training plumbers.
We're not teaching the task. The customer doesn't even, the customer's hardly aware of the task you're doing anyway. The customer shops, like take an Apple customer, for example. Tristan, you're dealing with this right now. You deal with all Apple products.
Yeah.
And you're vocalizing that you're kind of wanting to switch to Google products or Microsoft products.
My computer
right?
doesn't hold a charge.
Right. And
that's not a Google issue. It's a laptop issue.
I got to hand it to Apple. Both my kids are on Apple products. We're an Android house, but both my kids are going Apple, right?
It sounds like you're a 50-50 house.
Right. Now we are.
That's what it sounds true. Like. Yeah.
But you look at the features of Apple, and they've made it wonderful on the customer experience side of things. I can share stuff from my watch to my tablet to my phone.
Oh, it's awesome.
Like, effortlessly.
It's just ease of use.
Yeah. And so Apple focused on the customer experience, and then they had to build the technology to match to the customer experience. Unfortunately, a lot of guys try to think that their widget's better, or their service is better, or their price is better. And it's like, you guys are missing the boat. Focus on how the customer experiences your service, and then build the delivery of that service around that experience.
Yeah.
So, like, we wanted customers to have a memorable experience with us. And so we do the handwritten thank you cards, and we do the customized dog treats to the dog and all of that shit. We don't, like, there's no company policy in our company to wear shoe covers, wear booties, wear floor protectors. As like, they used to be called booties, and they got moved to shoe covers, and now the trendy thing is to call them floor savers, right? And it's all this silly bullshit with language of, like, they're not to protect my shoes, to protect your floor, right?
I was going
to
make a dirty joke about socks with rubber feet, but I'm not going to do it. I'm just going to move past it.
But
I'm not.
But what I'm getting at is, like, our sales process literally has shoe covers in the sales process, but it's a consideration to shoe covers. In other words, what is going to give your customer the best experience? If wearing shoe covers is it, wear them. If not wearing shoe covers gives them the best experience, don't wear them. In other words, if you go into that house with 14 dogs and 5 cats and 2 toddlers, their carpets ain't all that great. And you're probably going to offend the customer if you put shoe covers on. So,
yeah.
Like, in those cases, make a judgment call and don't wear them. Like, we don't have a policy requiring shoe covers. Our policy requires the consideration of shoe covers, right? And to this date, we've served almost 5,000 customers, and we've only ever had one customer mention shoe covers to us.
Yeah.
And the way that they mentioned them was in a position where, like, I do have a rule that shoe covers are not allowed on carpeted stairs when you're hauling up water heaters.
Right.
Because they're a trip hazard.
Yeah,
you'll slip.
Shit.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's literally,
like, put runners on carpet either.
Like we have, like, I think it's a 3-star review. We have a 3-star review where a customer mentioned the guy didn't wear shoe covers when he was pulling my water heater out of the basement. I'm okay with that 3-star review because the guy did exactly what he's told to do.
Have you ever had one of your guys go into a house with 5 cats, 8 dogs, 3 kids, and then, like, he's trying to be nice and he's like, no, seriously, I'll just put my shoe covers on. And they're like, no, seriously, just, you know, it's not that big a deal. Just take your boots off if you got mud on them. And he takes the boots off and then he puts the shoe covers over his socks because the house is so fucking disgusting.
Haven't had that. Thankfully, our guys don't like our guys are pretty good about wearing, like, they have kind of two sets of shoes. They'll have like muddy shoes and clean shoes.
Yeah.
And if they're on a dig job, they're going to wear their dig shoes. And if they're in a house, they're going to wear their clean shoes.
I always kept, but I always wore boots in general, but then I always just had clean tennis shoes in my truck.
Right.
For it was really for me.
Yeah.
It was like, I'll put these on instead. These people are disgusting.
And I saw something just within the last week or so of somebody asking, like, what's your employee shoe policy? And these guys were like trying to force their service techs to wear steel-toed boots.
That's ridiculous.
And I'm like, think about it. Homeowners walk around their home for years with no need to wear steel-toed boots. There's no reason you need to wear steel-toed boots in their home either.
That's also a dipshit that's never worn steel-toed boots and then knelt down to work on a water heater or a furnace and the steel's cutting into your toes. It's like, really?
Yeah. Like, I understand the need of steel-toed boots on like a commercial construction site where, you know, a 4,000-pound beam may fall from the sky. But you're also wearing a high-vis vest and a hard hat. Like, when you're in a customer's home, things are a lot more personal in nature. And I'm not avid, like, if you want to require your guys wear boots, that's fine. Yeah. But, like, just think about what you're requiring of your guys and how necessary is it.
There's nothing that damages culture more than over-the-top insanity.
Unnecessary
requirements.
Yeah,
right.
Like, and that could be anything. That could be carbon fiber shoes, that could be steel-toed boots, that could be shoe covers, that could, anything.
Yeah.
Like, it could just be, we have to have two guys on a job, even if it's under a three-foot dig. Yeah. Like, it just, anything that's above and over the top hurts your culture regardless of what it is.
I saw something on a trades-based Facebook group, like, just a day ago that was talking about, like, my guys aren't tucking in their shirts, and what can I do to get my guys to tuck in their shirts? And I'm like, I commented on it, and I'm like, they literally, like, the untucked look is actually, like, a fashion thing at this moment.
The response is, buy your shirts from Untuck It.
Right.
And quit being a bitch.
Like, like, if your shirts don't look bad being untucked, then maybe it's not a concern of yours. Now, ultimately, it's your company, so it's your job to set the standard and enforce the standard. However, don't put standards in place just because there's nothing there. Like, maybe there doesn't need to be something there. I literally buy my guys cargo shorts and t-shirts, and they'll work all summer long in tennis shoes, cargo shorts, and untucked t-shirts, and we still kill it in five-star reviews. You don't need a button-down shirt, long sleeve, long pants, and tucked in to get the five-star review. It's how you treat the customer.
I, to both of your points, that one and the one before about, you know, be discretionary with the boot covers. Like, it also depends on where you're working.
Yeah.
Like, if you're in Bel Air.
Yeah.
And you're running HVAC in Bel Air. Yeah. Button shirts tucked in.
Yeah.
Nice pants. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Be aware of your surroundings and where you're at.
Yeah.
You know, here in Missouri, who gives a shit? In Tennessee, no one cares.
I mean,
it's more about how you're treating the customer than anything, but just be cognitive of what is going on in your surroundings and do what is necessary in your area to make those competitive sales, regardless of what it is.
I would argue that in the Midwest, if you go over the top with the shoe covers and the long sleeve shirts and the button down shirts and the tucked in shirts,
you're not selling shit around us.
You might make a customer feel a little uncomfortable, right? Now, that doesn't mean our guys are showing up with, like, purple primer stained all over their shirt and haphazard, and it looks like they gave a Smurf a hand job because they got blue slime all over their pants or anything like that. Like, I mean, we still have, like, a cleanliness standard.
Yeah.
However, we're a very comfortable-looking plumber, and the idea is to make you comfortable in your home while we're there. And that's what works for us, and I'm not advocating that you have to do this in your business. I'm just saying, we've put so much thought into it that the customer comfort actually somewhat is reflected in, like, how I get our guys to dress. You know what I mean? Like, what do you, Tristan, what do you require for you guys to wear?
So that's interesting you asked that, because I was listening to a podcast a few weeks ago about Benjamin Franklin Plumbing.
Mm-hmm.
And
we have them here.
Oh,
yep.
Do you?
Yeah, we have, okay. We have Ben Franklin's here. Yep.
So at one time, there was a female CEO over it or something like that.
I think that's Ellen Rohr.
Yeah, if that's who it was.
Yeah, she
was
Ellen Rohr left as CEO of Ben Franklin, and she started Zoom Drain.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Oh, I like
Ellen
where
this
Rohr is
going. Smart as fuck.
Yeah.
She is...
She hot?
No.
Then I don't care.
No, but...
Next.
But she is really fucking cool to listen
yeah.
to.
Yeah.
Is that sexist?
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
It's been 2 hours. My brain's starting to mush. Go ahead.
So, she was talking about like the benefits of doing ride-alongs and mm-hmm. not really necessarily there to overcorrect them, but to get their opinions. And one of the guys was like, you know, we have these uniforms. Why do we have to match? You know, if we look presentable, why do we have to match? Why can't so-and-so wear pants if he wants to and I wear shorts, you know, or whatever? Unless it's picture day or something.
Right.
And so I really thought about that, and you don't have to match. And so last week I actually sent out a text and I said, hey, if you guys want to start wearing shorts, you know, this is the color I would like you to wear. Make sure they're presentable. If you want to wear tennis shoes, but keep mud boots too, because obviously
we're plumbers.
Yeah, you need more than one pair of shoes. But, you know, listening to that made me realize, like, really doesn't matter that much.
Well,
you know?
No. Some of that's cultural shift. So I was as I was seeing that comment, I was actively thinking about like the cultural shift in America. We used to go to Panera Bread and have expectations. We wanted the restaurant to be a certain level of cleanliness. We wanted the person behind the counter to talk to us a certain way. We wanted them to be in their appropriate uniform, right? What is today? Today is we get on a little app and we order Panera and it's delivered by somebody in a Kia Sorento wearing shorts and a t-shirt.
First off, if you're doing that Grubhub shit, stop.
Well,
those guys are jerking
$75
off on your stuff.
$75 for a bowl of broccoli chips.
Right.
I'm not even talking money. Those guys are creeping on your food.
But what I'm getting at is America has started to relax on the useless standards. Like, you still want the Panera Bread to taste good.
Right.
You still want it delivered hot. Right? But you don't care that the delivery person wasn't in a Panera uniform. You don't care that the delivery person was driving their personal car.
Yeah.
Right? All you care about is that your food got the food that you wanted got delivered. And it's no different than in plumbing. Like, we care about the customer experience. I don't care that my guy's not wearing a bow tie.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And there's a company out there. Now, they're in the Northeast. They can pull this off. We wouldn't be able to pull this off in the Midwest. There's a company out there that they require all of their guys wear bow ties.
What?
And the shtick with it is, like, I like this. The shtick is, so they're like a little mascot or whatever, is kind of like your old school original 1950s, like, high class service tech, where they are prim and proper and buttoned down, and the guy might have like a really cool mustache and all of that. Like, that's their whole motto is kind of built around that style.
You're right. That wouldn't work here. Like, if I saw a guy roll to my house with a bow tie,
right,
and he's like, hey, I'm here to snake your drain, I'm like, get the
It'd
fuck
be a little
out of
creepy
here, bro.
Here, but like, I think in your Chicago's and your Northeast environments, like, it may work there if your branding was right.
Maybe, yeah, it might.
It's no different than like Hooters, right? Like, I don't want to be sexist, but like,
dude, I love Hooters, and I'm mad the one in Independence is closed.
Okay, have you ever seen a male at Hooters in booty shorts with his cock hanging out the bottom of him in a crop top?
No, of course not. Because if he did, I'd be like, dude, it's called Hooters,
right?
It's for titties.
And so what I'm saying is, like, they developed an attire that is the expectation when you go there. And they developed a wait staff that is the expectation when you go there. And because it became part of their brand, if they deviated from it, you'd be like, whoa, what the fuck?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, if you went into Hooters and the girl was wearing a Hooters hoodie,
I'd be mad as hell.
That wouldn't fly.
You know what? I don't know. I don't know if I'd be mad at
them. I don't
want to love their chicken sandwiches.
I don't want to make this sexist, right? It's just
it's just
brand,
a good example.
That's the brand they've built, and you would be weirded out if it was out of line of the brand. It would be no different than if you went to Chick-fil-A and you drove away from the drive-thru and you did not hear "my pleasure."
Yeah.
You'd be like, whoa, 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 hold on. And you'd like want to put the truck in reverse and go back and be like, make it right.
It's
make
same,
it full.
And to your point of it not being sexist, it'd be like in Vegas if all the women went to the Magic Mike show and they looked like most of our guys in trade wins and not, you, right. You know what I mean?
The right. Dad bod, like,
there's,
calendar.
There's, yeah, there's an expectation there that they look like there's Chippendale some dancers. Expectations, like, come on.
That, like, you get to determine the expectations that come with your brand. And the moment you do that, like, roll with it, right? Yeah. The Savannah Bananas. We talked about them last week on the podcast. Yeah. You got the yellow suit guy. You got the zany stuff. You got the bits and the sings and the songs and the
dad bod cheerleader squad.
Dad bod cheerleader squad. You got all the things.
First
right?
off, after that podcast, I went and looked. Dude, those guys that they get out of the crowd, they are into it.
Did you notice?
I mean, they are.
So Victor Rancourt, yesterday.
He's a douche.
He posted yesterday.
I don't follow
he was like,
anything he says.
I went to a Savannah Bananas show. And we have to find a way to get this type of experience in the home service industry. Ironically, we had a whole podcast on it last week about it, right? And what, like, I'm not saying, like, we beat Victor Ratuit or anything like that. What I'm saying is,
I think that was exactly what you're saying.
No. What I'm saying is, like, people recognize the Savannah Bananas focused on the customer experience. They didn't care about baseball.
Yeah.
They focused on the experience of the client, and they built their entire company around that experience.
Yeah.
And if you do that, you're going to fucking dominate anything you do.
Yes. The customer experience is...
Anything.
We talked about that a little bit during the last podcast of, if you don't think you're at least a little bit in the entertainment industry while you're in the home service industry, you're lying to yourself.
Right.
Like, people want to smile. People want to laugh. People want to feel a connection, which is really what entertainment is about, the connection to the experience. And that in the home service industry is like the best salesmen are able to make that happen. It just is. When I go into a big-ass house and they need one system and I sell them three, it's because they like who I am, yeah. What I gave them, how I made them feel. They trust me. Most of that is, how do I say this? Most of that's a show.
Right.
Like, I don't go into a home where I'm not trying to sell someone. Say I'm going to a party and I don't know very many people there, but I was invited. I don't go in there fully on. Fully giving my best lines and my best smiles and my best compliments to the ladies and all of that stuff just because I'm there. I'm doing that when I'm selling jobs.
Right.
And that is part of, like, it's an entertainment introspective, I guess is what it really is.
Right.
You know what I mean? You're selling yourself.
Yeah.
Entertainment's the same
fucking
thing.
People buy from people.
That's right. And people want to be entertained.
Yeah.
People want to feel comfortable.
I'm trying
to
see.
It just kind of is what it is.
So, like, the NFL is not recognized as a sports company.
No, they're an entertainment company.
Sports entertainment business.
Yeah.
Right? And so.
Also, I'm not going to say any of that.
And that doesn't mean that what they do is not, like, competitive or whatever. But even the NFL realizes. They're in the entertainment business. They're there to entertain their fans. They're not there to perform a sport in front of their fans. They're there to entertain their fans by way of performing a sport.
Yeah, when they win the sport, it entertains their fans. When they play the sport, it entertains their fans.
Exactly.
Like when I wish I had a better example for this. I knew some waitresses that worked at Twin Peaks. They were hired in their contract as entertainers.
Yeah.
Because when
by the way, you have to serve food while you're entertaining.
When you're hired as an entertainer, and this is going to make Twin Peaks look bad, but I don't care. Like, they had to stay within a certain weight.
Right.
But the only way that that works is if you're hired as an entertainer. I think that might be a lot of the reason sports are classified as entertainment.
Right.
You know, I can't imagine that Chippendale's dancers and those guys that run the Magic Mike shows aren't hired as entertainers for the same thing.
Right.
Look, dude, you put on 40 pounds, Jim. We got to fire your ass.
Yeah.
No one wants to look at your sloppy butt. I mean, you know,
right.
I'm imagining it's the exact same.
Yeah. Yeah, it'd be very similar.
Not to be off topic, but.
Yeah. And so the reason I say that is, like, we saw success in our company because we built everything around how do we want the customer to feel, right? Customers will forget what they paid you. Customers will forget what repair you did, but they'll never forget how you made them feel.
Forget. You don't.
Forget.
Forrest Gump over here.
And so you've got to...
Fucking T-Rizzle with the Stop! Stop! Oh, my God.
So, like, if you can make the customer feel a certain way, they'll never forget it. And they'll be the biggest fan of yours forever, right? That's why the Savannah Bananas are taking off. That's why all of these entertainers are taking off, right? Saquon Barkley. A lot of people don't know his stats, but they know that reverse jump over the guy that he did backwards, mm-hmm. right? He entertained them.
Yeah.
It's pretty crazy.
Yeah.
Patrick Mahomes. Now, granted, Patrick has some great stats. However, people remember him being horizontal, 1 foot off the ground, throwing a pass that was incomplete, but hit the guy in the fucking hands.
Yeah. What do you?
That's entertainment.
Yeah. What do you think the highlight reel is? It's entertainment.
Yeah.
That's what the highlight reel is.
Totally.
What
do you think your social media posts are for your business? They're entertaining. Well, they're not factoids.
They're your highlight reel.
Right.
Tristan, how are the Bears going to do this year?
Hopefully better than last year.
You're wearing a Chicago
year.
Bears shirt?
Yeah.
He's from Illinois.
I'm from Illinois.
But you're not a Titans fan?
No.
Dude, you know why? Because he's not a traitor. Just because you leave somewhere doesn't mean you leave everyone behind, right?
You know, I'll follow the Titans. I'd love to go to a Bears-Titans game in Nashville,
that'd be cool.
Especially when they get their new stadium.
Yeah.
I do think the Bears are going to do better than they did last year. So,
are the Bears one of the teams that's never had a Super Bowl?
No, they won in 85.
Yeah, no.
85, okay.
Yeah, but I will say that statement in and of itself is not great. What? I think they're going to be better than they
did last year. It's like being a Cubs fan. You say the same thing.
Man,
they're lovable losers.
I've said it before.
It's like being a Chicago resident.
Yeah.
I root for the Cubbies.
Sorry, Dan.
Because Dave. I just wanted to see them win.
Yeah.
You know?
The Royals won 1 year. Cubs won the next.
Yeah. I was rooting for the Cubbies. I wanted to see them win.
Yep.
And I hate the White Sox. So.
Oh, yeah. Know. Screw the White Sox.
Yeah. You can. Yeah. I love how Tristan's so correct.
Screw you know.
He's not like. He's so.
Yeah.
You know Ben Zobrist?
He was a pitcher for the Royals.
He played second base and he played right field.
He grew up about 30 minutes from where I grew up. Yeah.
Yeah. Don't look at.
He is not a pitcher. Second base.
What's the bet, Mitch? Whoa! Put your phone down. Smedley paying for dinner tonight, or is Dave? I will bet that all day. Yeah. See, he's a chicken shit.
He did not.
He
pitch.
Is such a chicken shit.
God. So his wife,
ex-wife.
Are we betting or not?
She was a Christian singer.
Are we betting?
I thought
or are you
a...
just going to pretend like you're right?
No, I ain't pretending. For some reason, I felt like he was one of our pitchers, and the wife was trying to take the spotlight.
Freaking close I was to making money there. Damn.
I don't bet on anything.
His ex-wife was a Christian singer, but she cheated on him, and he divorced her.
Right.
So
and that happened all right after the 2015 World Series.
Yeah, it was in 16, I think.
Yeah. Like.
Maybe 17.
He left the team for a long time because of it, the Cubs.
And I think she sang one of the national anthems at one of the Royals games.
Yeah, she did.
And it was like, oh, my gosh, they're the most perfect family ever. And then, like, within 10 months... we find out infidelity and all. I just remember him being a pitcher instead of a second baseman.
Yeah.
Kind of random.
I'm not going
to
get it.
I just thought I'd bring it up because he grew up so close to me.
Yeah.
And he hit the...
And he played here.
He made the hit that put the Cubs in the lead to win game seven.
Yeah.
So.
He's a Royals hero and a Cubs hero.
Yeah.
Yeah.
2016 MVP.
Yeah.
Solid guy.
That's right. Yeah.
Just not a solid wife.
Yeah. But it's all right.
We're adults, and we can't control other adults like we think we can. So,
no comments about any of that. I'm going to keep my mouth shut.
Well, let's wrap this thing up. We've gone over 2 hours here. So,
first off, I want to thank Tristan.
Yeah, absolutely.
For coming all the way up here.
We will thank Tristan from steaming from Dresden, Tennessee to Kansas City. You're not quite to Kansas City, by the way. You got to go another 15 miles to get there.
You don't want
to
go there.
Yeah.
You don't want to go there. You get your car stolen. You'll get told you know, all the things.
We usually don't do this, and I think we probably should have before. Will you give us your website and the service areas that are closest to you?
Yep.
Come on, I'm going to make shorts about this stuff, and then you'll be able to post them later. So
TennesseesChoicePlumbing.com, that's my website. We serve all of Northwest Tennessee, Paris, Tennessee, Jackson, Tennessee, Dyersburg, Tennessee, everything in between. So
if you need service in that area, call Tristan. If you are looking for a job, I know you're not hiring right now, but if you're looking for a job and want to put a resume in and keep it on file, and you're a good plumber and you're close to that area, email it to him.
Tristan is one of those guys that will keep all solid emails on file just in case.
Yeah.
I do the same thing.
Yeah. We've been trying to do this a little bit for Tradewinds, trying to start hooking some people up, and it's kind of a slow process to get off the ground. But if you're in that area and you're a good plumber and you want to work at a good company, send your resume.
100%.
You never know.
Yeah.
Right?
And I can vouch for this as the host of this show for over 3 years, and the fact that we only bring in top talent, that Tennessee's Choice Plumbing is doing everything right to make a difference in the lives of their customers. The fact that they're pursuing a higher level of education from other like-minded individuals says that Tennessee's Choice Plumbing is pushing to deliver the best product they can for any customer they have. So making sure that they leave no stone unturned and make every customer as happy as they can, right?
Yeah.
I mean, how did we phrase this earlier? What, out of 300 and something reviews, you only have like 10 or 11 that are not 5 stars?
Right.
That's pretty badass.
Yeah. And some of those are complete bullshit.
Yeah.
Oh, right.
But, before we sign off, I just wanted to say seriously, like, thank you guys, because I found you within 4 months of me starting my business, and I've been every step of the way with you guys. I would not be where I'm at today without you guys. So
love it.
Love you too.
Truly appreciate it.
Yeah.
T Rizzle.
We're going to go out to dinner tonight.
Hell yeah.
Share more stories over some nice food, some possibly adult beverages. I don't know. That's still to be decided.
Tristan doesn't drink, but you and I can have some.
Right. We'll share some. So, but until next week, guys, we'll see you later. And Tristan, keep kicking ass.
Thank you.
Tomorrow morning, I get to cook breakfast for Tristan. Yeah. Tristan's going to attend one of our team meetings. So
once again, I'm not invited. Yeah. Fantastic.
Tell and Dave's going to take me fishing tomorrow if you want to come.
What time?
7 o'clock.
Ho, 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 ho.
You just Google Smedley Plumbing.
I know where you're at.
And you show up.
I know where you're at.
7 o'clock,
It took me coming over here for you to finally get invited to breakfast.
Yep. Yeah, he feels bad because I didn't get invited to lunch yesterday.
Come. Yeah, I'll have to come every week so you can get free breakfast.
He won't come.
You want to move to KC?
Maybe.
No,
maybe. You pay me enough for Tradewinds. I'm like,
there it is.
That's good, man.
All righty, everybody. Until next week, we will see you later.
Thank you, guys.